Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
On Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time in almost a decade, the Chiefs will not make the NFL postseason. KC was eliminated Sunday with a 16-13 loss to the Chargers. Patrick Mahomes also suffered a torn ACL in the loss. He'll miss the rest of the season. Browns and Bengals are also not going to the playoffs. Shocking, I know. Cincinnati's 4-10 after being shut out yesterday by the Ravens. The Browns are 3-11 after a 31-3 loss to the Bears. Week 15 wraps up tonight in Pittsburgh with the Steelers hosting the Dolphins at 8:15. You can hear it on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. Pittsburgh's a half game up on the Ravens in the AFC North. In college hoops, Ohio State beat West Virginia in double overtime this past Saturday in Cleveland. Buckeyes will play North Carolina in Atlanta Saturday afternoon. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Jake Diebler Radio Show. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota, the best selection of new and used cars in Central Ohio. View their full selection of vehicles online at germaintoyota.net.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Well, the one part of the song where they talk about the weather being frightful, that hits the nail on the head. Welcome to your Monday, everybody. Hope you're all warm. Hope you're all staying inside today. And I guess if you haven't done it already, you got, what, a week and a half to Christmas. So if I guess you do decide to brave the cold, bundle up. It's a frigid one out there. But good morning, Eric Reeser in the friendship edition of Bishop and Friends. Bo and Baker are off. But with me today, Jacob Reimer and Austin Ward of The Fan and Letterman Row. And buddy, that was a wild and wonderful weekend we had. How about you?
Yeah, winter wonderland out there. And I felt like, I don't know, the temperature gauge on my car must have been broken. There was only one digit showing up on the dash, Reeser. That's not supposed to happen in the San Diego of the Midwest.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for maybe 40s. I think you're getting that later this week, but zero was what I woke up to as well. Saturday night, I was watching Ohio State and West Virginia, and that game went into double overtime. Bruce Thornton played about 60 minutes of actual basketball, and at half, I went out to uncover my car and to do the sidewalk because I realized it's probably better to do this in 17 degrees than it is the next morning in 7 degrees.
Yeah, that was a great call by you.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out what we're going to do because I canceled my trip to New York City. I was going to go cover the Heisman Trophy, but a result of the previous Saturday changed some of those plans when it became clear that Julian Sain was not going to win. So I had the opportunity to hang out with the girls all weekend, and it's like, well, I don't think we're going anywhere on Saturday night. It was really snowing hard. So let's just find something to do here because it just came out of nowhere. You could look at the forecast, but I never believe it. It can't be real, Reeser. Like, you know, that's 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 inches of snow. That's not going to happen. And it was coming down quite that quickly and fast and furiously. So let's just make sure we got everything we need here so we can stay home and watch John Cena.
Yeah. The last couple of days has really got me thinking about, you know, the idea of if you've got stakes in a football game, people are going to watch.
Yeah.
Like Friday, I found myself watching the FCS playoffs. I think it's going to be Brawl of the Wild in the FCS semis or Cat Grizz, as Bo likes to call it, Montana and Montana State. And then you had Army-Navy with some Horvath heroics on Saturday. And it's a point that I've made for a couple of years now. And as the college football playoffs going to expand probably to 16 teams here in January, as there are, what, 40 bowl games? And hardly any of them matter.
Why? And teams don't even want to play in them. They're opting out.
Yeah, Notre Dame saying no. They've got Kansas State and another Big 12 team said no, and they're going to be charged $500,000 for it.
Did Iowa State opt out when Matt Campbell left? Was that
that sounds about right?
But I think I would have done my research.
You're getting into a situation where you don't have teams, like you don't have enough players on a team.
Yeah,
Michigan is still scheduled to play in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. So it remains to be seen what happens with that. We're probably not going to do any Sherrone Moore on the program today because, honestly, at the end of last week, it just got sad with what happened to him.
Took an incredible, unexpected turn for the worse. There's no doubt about that. Don't have to talk about him specifically, Reeser, but the athletic department as a whole is an absolute dumpster fire. And we could probably talk about Ward Manuel and an investigation for hours because they need a complete clean house over there. When it comes to Sherrone Moore, all we can do is hope that and wish for the best for his kids, his wife, the alleged victim here. Like they didn't ask for any of this stuff to go on for them, and it's going to be very difficult for them to get through it. I have no sympathy for Michigan as a whole because they've been allowing rule breaking to go on for many, many years there. So definitely need some changes at the top there, and this investigation seems like it should be the easiest one of all time, but I also thought that about some previous ones they've run with Ward Manuel, and that hasn't led to any change yet either.
And I think he's the common denominator in all of this. And we'll do discussions on how Michigan and the situation in Ann Arbor will affect college football several times throughout the program today. Jeremy Birmingham is going to join us at 10:30 in your usual Monday spot. But since we've got you for all three, we'll reunite Austin and Berm this morning because whenever Michigan does hire a head coach, they've got 5 days to figure out if we can save everybody on this roster, and then the transfer portal for those players opens. Now, I had wondered if Michigan would do kind of the devious thing and hire the coach 5 days before January 2nd to where the two portals just are at the same time. You have the new single transfer portal in the winter that's 15 days, and then you've got the, hey, your coach is gone, sorry about it, here's another portal, and only have to worry about 15-day stretch rather than having to worry about two 15s over the course of 30.
Yeah, I think if you are the Wolverines, you actually need to probably mitigate the window that's open. Yeah. Because if you wait and you let, they cannot keep Michigan players from entering their name January 2nd. The ones that were going to do that, no matter who the coach was, whether it was Sherrone Moore or anybody else, you would not want to go through that 15-day window and then allow it to open back up again after they make a hire, whether that's Jed Fish, Kalen DeBoer, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, any of these guys that I think are the actual top candidates on the list there. So, there actually needs to be some urgency, at least unless you want, which I'm sure Ohio State fans would be fine with, their entire roster to be decimated in January, which is possibly going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean, certainly some of the bigger players, they're going to be picked over. And then you kind of wonder what's going to happen with Bryce Underwood.
What if you want to bring players in too, Reeser? Like, there's only now this one window.
Yeah.
It's not as if you can get through January, and if you don't have that new coach in place, you can come back after spring ball and be like, well, here's what the situation is like. Bill Belichick had to do a lot of that in April last year. Didn't work out. There's not generally a lot of high caliber athletes available to you post spring ball. It's not where you want to be living. So, that's the one opportunity they're going to have. They already missed the early signing period, although they did their bet. That was the devious part.
That was bad.
So they already did keep a lot of those guys in place, at least for the time being. They can ask to be released, but a lot of them probably signed some contracts that have financial implications. That's the part that's really, for the players, for the football side, removing the rest of the Sherrone Moore conversation, that was the gross part about the way the athletic department handled this when they knew a lot longer
than
they knew
it was there. They knew it was coming. I don't think they knew that she was going to turn state's witness a couple of days before
Monday, I believe.
Yeah, at least a couple of days after the national signing day. But they knew there was stuff within the program that at some point could permeate to the surface and cause another uproar.
If they didn't, then that's yet another example of Ward Manuel needing to be replaced, because all across the country, whether that's agents, whether that is other coaches, not just in Columbus. I mean, I'm telling you, the Sherrone Moore saga and the things that may or may not have been going on were being talked about in the middle of this season, and in some cases longer than that. So that's why I talk about the investigation and this new group that they're bringing in, research. Like, well, what can they find? apparently they found nothing the last time, and that's hard to believe because everyone else was very well aware of what was happening.
And so with Michigan and what's to come of this, you know, investigation of their whole athletic department, there's going to be national ramifications. Back in the summer, we had had Sharon Jayaraja from CBS Sports on, and he kind of broke down what was going on with Texas Tech. And when we did our 20 most interesting programs, the Red Raiders were one of them. And he had said that the goal for Texas Tech was to make the Big 12 title game and then kind of see where the chips fall. And boy, did they. They certainly had a moment. Not as big of a moment as Indiana, but Shayon's going to join us at 11:30 and kind of discuss what's next for this program that has accomplished everything that they wanted to do in sort of year one of a cash infusion rebuild. You know, we talk with Penn State, we talk with Michigan State, and kind of how they're going about things in different directions. And really the weird thing, Austin, is I look at the Big Ten and go, could Michigan State, Penn State, and Michigan wind up in better situations in 2026 than in 2025 in terms of coaching, in terms of NIL war chests, and everything with the programs moving forward?
You'd almost have to, I think you have to break them out individually.
They're all unique.
Yeah. Yes. Because like, in terms of roster retention and NIL pool, I would bet right now that the Wolverines are going to be more stretched than they were a year ago. Now, they're probably going to be dramatically better coached than they were under Sharon Moore. Again, we are talking solely about the football aspect. He was not delivering. That's part of the reason I think that you found them actually willing to pull the trigger at the time that they did. That's an outside assessment, and that's my opinion, but given the timing of all that, it's hard to deny that. Penn State, I think, they just spent, as you mentioned, a huge level. They thought that they were following the 2023 Michigan blueprint, the Ohio State retention plan of 2024, keeping the core of that group together with Drew Aller and Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and on down Danny Dennis Sutton on down the line. You know, James Franklin, as much research as you know, I am skeptical of his big game ability like everybody else, but also just some of the sliminess with him as a recruiter. He was winning 10 games every single year, and he had those NIL resources. That part's going to be new for Matt Campbell, and he's not, you know, one, so he's not even really been in some of these highest profile games the way that James Franklin had proven that he couldn't win them. So that's a little bit uncertain. And then, you know, Pat Fitzgerald, we could probably talk about this for all of them. I think people have misevaluated like the end of his career, and some of the justification is, well, he's doing this with Northwestern players and hands tied behind his back. 1-11 is 1-11.
Yeah.
And the game has changed dramatically since he was last in it 4 or 5 years ago. So I think that there's reason to be skeptical about all of them, but there's also some, each part, like if there's a coaching improvement at Michigan, or, you know, someone who has better in-game management at Penn State, mm-hmm. or a developer of talent the way that Pat Fitzgerald was at Northwestern, we can find the positives there. I'm skeptical if overall there's going to be an upgrade, because you're not having to deal with the same sort of issues at Ohio State, Oregon, or USC right now. So at least for the moment with Lincoln Riley, but we'll see what happens.
What's insane about all of those schools you just mentioned, including USC, they're trying to be Indiana.
Well, I didn't even mention the Big Ten champion. So I'm going to have to learn that discounting the Hoosiers, I do that at my own detriment.
At your own peril. A couple big names have turned down, or at least said they're disinterested in the Michigan job. We'll discuss that next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's Monday Night Football on The Fan. Catch the Dolphins and Steelers live from Yinzerville.
Fan coverage starts Monday at 8.
Sponsored by Roosters. A fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A nice mix of sun and clouds today, but don't let that sun fool you. We're still going to be bitterly cold with our feels like at or below zero. For tonight, partly cloudy with our lows down into the teens. However, the feels like will be even lower than that. And for Tuesday, more sunshine. And finally, temperatures getting back above the freezing mark. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's Reaction Monday, where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction, the Fan. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reaser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reaser, Austin Ward, Jacob Reimer rolling with you until noon today.
They're so mean to you on these bumpers.
If you can, stay inside. I know Meredith Garfalo talked about the sun and it warming up, but that is not today, my friends.
Wednesday.
So you're saying no golfing?
Well, if you're ambitious.
Got simulators, Reimer.
No, if you're on the golf course, no one's going to stop you.
Might stop yourself.
I did drive by a golf course yesterday and the pins were still in the hole. And wow. It was just covered.
Who's going
with
picking
snow.
Those up? Yeah, I can't blame them.
Real ones go out there. Winter greens, winter rules in effect.
Uh-huh. That's true.
My wife said we were driving past on the way to the Junior Nutcracker on Sunday, yesterday, driving past Ohio State Golf Course. She's like, yeah, when I was a kid, we used to go sledding out there. I'm like, at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
We did say at a country club.
Like, tearing up the greens.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Reimer?
I just went to my local fairgrounds to sled. You guys are at these very nice golf courses.
Well, it's proximity, man. Like, we didn't just say, like, the nearest golf course. We got to go attack that.
we got to go to a country club.
The hills are rolling. It's a very UA thing to do, right?
Yes.
Those who know. I was asking you in the break just how wild our college football conversation has become in the past 7 days. Because this time last week when we had you on, it was trying to dissect and figure out what happened with Ohio State against Indiana in the Big Ten Championship.
That didn't last long.
And it did not. It maybe lasted a day. And you had mentioned Jim Knowles going to Tennessee. Normally, that's something we take 10 minutes to talk about. But then the whole Michigan thing broke.
It lasted about 15 minutes, and he just moved on.
And I do wonder for Knowles if he takes his entire binder with him to Knoxville. Because there's a joke about people from Tennessee that I probably shouldn't make because of your history with them. And then,
I don't worry about that.
Well, there's the joke that they're not able to read. I won't make that joke on the air, but like, does the binder...
How do you think I was able to write for the newspaper so long? Nobody was being critical of my work.
It's the first person to write in all emojis. But the binder, like, does that... It doesn't work anymore. You can't go into a system, or you can't go into a new place with a binder and say, here's how you're going to play defense. Because now you have the transfer portal. Now you have guys that are just developed much earlier entering the college ranks that you've got to be able to say, what's in my room? Then that's how I'm going to base my defense off of it, a la Matt Patricia.
Yep. And I think that the complicating factor here for Jim Knowles is that, and this is not to discount what he did at Ohio State, and I don't mean it this way. It took 3 years for them to reach their peak, and that was the conversation. You looked at his track record before he got to Columbus. You need some time to understand what you're doing. You need to be able to, you know, fit the personnel to what Jim Knowles wants to accomplish, and that takes time. And time and understanding and reps and familiarity. And James Franklin thought that he could microwave that at Penn State, and he could not. And now Josh Heupel's trying to do the exact same thing with the Vols. He doesn't have 3 years. They need to win right away, or Josh Heupel's going to be unemployed, just the same way that James Franklin was. So now Jim Knowles is in this really weird spot where Ryan Day and Ohio State sort of had the patience and the time to let that develop because the offense was going to be so good. They didn't have to be the number one defense in the country right away. And that's not going to happen at Tennessee with the talent they have. And it didn't happen at Penn State, obviously, last year. And now this combination of Josh Heupel needing urgency and Jim Knowles and his sister dealing with Vol Twitter. I've got a lot of popcorn just really ready for this because I don't see how it's going to work.
And nobody in the South has patience. Almost nobody in the North has patience. Like, you, if you're going into a program and you're being highly compensated, the expectation is to move now. And schools like in Indiana have shown with proper portal procedures, you can flip things. Now, again, everybody now is chasing the Indiana model. So I'm very excited. And
keep saying how much things have changed in the last 7 days, 9 days. It's crazy to me that we have to have that conversation about Indiana still. And we do. Yep. I'm just adjusting to it still.
It's very difficult for everybody, I think, even nationally, with what you saw Saturday night and an Indiana college football player picking up the single greatest individual award in the sport. Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm not prepared for this world. And I watched them win that game. And still.
They're a legitimate football team. However.
And it was a great game. But I still, and maybe I'm wrong for this, I think that you agree with it, Reese. I mean, the reason that we were talking last Monday about what went wrong is that I still think that Ohio State lost that game more than Indiana sure. won it. And, you know, falling short on that stage, Indiana had to be in position to get there, and then they had to take advantage when Ohio State made the mistakes, and they did. So I don't say any of that to criticize Kurt Cignetti. I've learned my lesson on that. He knows what he's doing. I used Bing instead of Google. Maybe the search results weren't as accurate as they needed to be, but he has proven that his resume is legit, and what he has done and taking the number one seed into the college football playoff is well-deserved and earned for what he and Fernando Mendoza and that group have done. But, you know, Ohio State could have erased a lot of that narrative just by producing one touchdown in the red zone inside the 10 or turning two of those into fruitful possessions. And that's going to be what we continue to talk about because, you know, Indiana, that's in the record book. And now Ohio State, all they can do is go try and get that corrected in the college football playoff.
And that's what they're, you know, Ryan Day and company are going to spend the next week tinkering with. Because their schedule is, you know, 16 days out from the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal, third year in a row, Ohio State's going to Dallas. So
my home away from home this time of year.
I was going to say congratulations to you.
Yeah, for paying a lot of taxes down there.
Opportunity to go. But the opponent, you'll find out, you know, Saturday afternoon, Texas A&M or Miami. And then you don't really have time, I think, to with the winner of the Big Ten championship. I had said that they have time to kind of celebrate and enjoy this. For the loser, you don't, because then the focus has to quickly shift. And whomever it's going to be in that Cotton Bowl quarterfinal, that's almost your exact attention the day after.
Yeah.
Because then you got two teams that are they're different, but attack you from the from similar directions in that they had a very aggressive pass rush, both A&M and Miami. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a ton of success against the aggressive pass rush of Indiana. And so I think that's kind of where you start to try to figure things out, the red zone issues. And then are we looking in the next 16 days about more Lincoln Keenholes?
Yeah, and then the other, I mean, major complicating factor here is what you're going to do at right guard. Because, Reese, sure. All indications are to me that Tegra Tshabola is now dealing with an injury, has had an injury addressed in the middle of last week and will not be playing in the Cotton Bowl. Don't know about beyond that. But like we've talked about that position and it was inconsistent in performance throughout the year. And Ohio State had left the door open. Maybe in the middle of the year, Josh Padilla could take that job. You know, Gabe Van Sickle came in the second half. You had the two best drives of the game for Ohio State with him out there. Again, they didn't produce points, but they were the two most efficient up and down the field with him out there. So you have a couple of those options. Or Ethan Onyanwa, after, you know, his high-profile transfer has not worked out the way anybody imagined to this point. But, you know, one of those three guys, or two of them, based on the way Ohio State managed the injury situation during the college football playoff a year ago, are going to need to make the most of these reps this week as they start to ramp back up. As you mentioned, like they don't know who they're going to play, so you have to treat them a little bit more as like self-scouting and spring camp style practices this week. But you're going to have to replace Tegra Tshabola at right guard. Now it's a necessity. It's not a matter of performance. So that's, I think, becoming, you know, job one as you get through this week, and then you find out who you're actually going to be game planning for on Saturday at noon.
And it does go back to the point that Ryan was trying to make, I think, since this past January, where you're almost playing two different seasons in the stretch of a season, because you have what I called the Daytona 500 at the beginning of the year in Texas, and then you rarely had exhibitions, and then the season actually begins on that November 29th game. And I think that final drive for Ohio State in Ann Arbor, it covered up a lot of issues with that offensive line, or what we had perceived to be issues with the offensive line, with Ohio State's inability to operate in the short yardage red zone situations, because you're just whooping Michigan's ass.
Yeah.
And that just made everybody feel so good. Then when you got to a team with like talent, you saw what you saw in Indianapolis.
And I think that's part of the frustration when we're talking about, you know, Tshabola on the field and even with the injury. Because I think he was playing through it at that time, an upper body situation. But he played maybe the best game of his career in that cathartic win in the Big House. And then the next week, it was a complete disaster in execution, assignment, identification. And he's not alone in that. I'm not trying to pick on him specifically. And especially if he was working through an injury, that makes it a lot more complicated. Like Philip Daniels missed blocks. Austin Sarveld had one of his rougher outings of the season. Luke Montgomery, Carson Hinsman. We can include them all. But it's not as if you're going to get a breather now. There's nothing but talent-equated matchups going forward. And whether that's Texas A&M, Miami, Georgia, Ole Miss, Indiana again. All of them have aggressive defensive fronts and will throw blitzes at Ohio State that are going to challenge them. And now they're going to have to do that with someone who's not started at right guard before.
The college football playoff begins Friday night. Alabama is at Oklahoma. Could this be a one-and-done situation for Kalen DeBoer? We'll discuss that next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up
with you? Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Reeser, Austin Ward, Jacob Reimer, here's what's up. The college football playoff. Soon. Start Friday at 8 o'clock. Oklahoma hosts Alabama in their first-round matchup. I'd mentioned earlier in the show how there are 41 bowl games, and so many of them don't matter. And we can laugh at Notre Dame for taking their ball and going home, and we can ask for some of these teams that have opted out of bowl games, like, why are you ducking a chance to get better, a chance for some of the younger guys to gain valuable reps, a chance for guys to have, you know, an experience that they would never otherwise get. I thought for Ohio State it was so important last year to have a lot of those early enrollees with the team on that championship run because it showed them how you operate in a professional setting. And this is very much that. But for a lot of these bowl games, they don't matter. So watching games over the weekend that did matter, games in the FCS quarterfinals, Army-Navy, those have real stakes to them. It goes back to a point that I've made for years now, and that the Group of Five, I think, can offer its own playoff system, its own playoff format that will actually get people to tune on weeks like this, where you have the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl, you have the Poinsettia Bowl. I don't even know what these bowls are called anymore, but some of those could be what's going on this week. I think Washington stomped Boise State over the weekend in a bowl game that
I didn't even know saw. that it happened on Saturday. Like, well, Jed Fish is clear to go now. Okay.
Great.
I thought everybody waited till Army-Navy was out of the way. I was stunned by that, and I cover college football. Didn't know the calendar.
So you can. I think there's a desire, if you offer the Group of Five their chance to, on these kinds of off weeks, the opportunity to play in a playoff, their own playoff, so we don't have things like what we're going to get Saturday afternoon. Because it's not Tulane's fault. It's not JMU's fault. They're taking the opportunities that are presented to them, but those games are on TNT and HBO Max for a reason.
And I think if you... To your point, well, how could Tulane or James Madison or Boise State or the Mountain West or the Pac-2 or whatever opt out of a path forward to the college football playoff? It's far too lucrative. You get in and it's, you know, $4 million.
Yeah,
and if you win, it's going.
Yes.
You have to. They can't opt out of that. But that's only going to one of these teams. I think if you're packaging it the way you're talking about, because people are going to watch even these meaningless football bowl games. People are going to watch them in higher rates than outside of Reimer. December college basketball.
It'll take up one of his eight boxes. I mean, he's got a quad box on one pad. He's got a quad box on a TV. And then on one computer screen, there's another basketball game. So college football could fit into one of those.
I was going to say, just on Saturday, you could just watch college basketball.
Yeah, you could have. But there aren't enough Reimers in the world, I think, to build that broadcast package. But the point I was trying to make is that if you start competitively, it might be a difficult pill to swallow. Financially, as all of these programs at that level are trying to fight for survival and fight for eyeballs and fight for NIL packages and compensation to make sure that they can still have, you know, rosters that could play, you know, non-conference opportunities against the best in the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever. This is probably, your idea is probably the best way forward, Reeser, because whether that is TNT or ESPN or Fox or whoever, like, those are going to be appealing games because they're going to get eyeballs in the couple million range no matter what, because a lot of these worthless, as we view them, bowl games are already getting that. Again, gambling is part of that, but people also love football at any time of year. When you attach something meaningful to that, I think that that's a carrot right there, and it doesn't require like a threat of a super league or anything else. I think here you go. You could even package them together, Reeser, to be honest with you. If you still want to take the highest ranked Group of Five team and they want to play in the college football playoff instead of taking their chances in a group of five playoff, like, go for that. I think You probably have a better chance of winning one versus the other, but you know that could still exist in this system.
Yeah, and I think like that's the option for the highest ranked. If they'd like to go into the college football playoff, if they'd like to be the one seed in the group of five playoff, they can have that opportunity, but it throws so much more opportunity for some of those schools that will never sniff the what will probably be a 16-team college football playoff, and that could give them ties with if Amazon wants to do it or if Netflix wants to do it. Like, we're not sitting here going like there just aren't enough places to broadcast these things. CW Network was carrying meaningful ACC games in the regular season, and so the opportunities are there for it. And yeah, the opportunity for I don't know if Kalen DeBoer, if he would at the onset or at the end of Alabama, Oklahoma, want to take the opportunity to stick it to Tide fans. Like, say they, I don't even know if that's the proper phrasing of it, because I still think the hardest job in sport, the hardest job ever in sports all time for anybody is following Nick Saban in Alabama. Like, I don't think there's a harder job ever been asked of anybody in sport. You got to follow Nick Saban in Alabama while he's got a statue, while he's got an office in the building, while you play on the field named after him, while he's ever present Saturdays, every Saturday, he will be present this Saturday, next Saturday, throughout the college football playoff. If you're Kalen, is that something that you want to continue to do? Well, according to him, in a statement released on X through Yeah Alabama, which is the school's NIL collective, he says, quote, "I have not spoken and have no interest in speaking with anyone else about any other job. I am fully committed to this program and look forward to continuing as the head football coach at the University of Alabama." So when Sharon Moore is dismissed and you kind of sift through, or you're done with however the Sharon Moore side of it is, you look to who's going to be next at Michigan. And DeBoer's name's been thrown out there a lot. Kenny Dillingham's name's been thrown out there a lot. He said that he's committed to Arizona State over the weekend. But what did any of these things mean? What did any of them mean last week? What did any of them mean yesterday comparative to what will they mean in a week when Michigan maybe gives you more for an offer? Or your situation for DeBoer at Alabama, if you lose to Oklahoma, just becomes a, I'm tired of these guys.
Which, who could blame him for that? They lost to Florida State, and you had people talking about spending their Powerball winnings on firing Kalen DeBoer. So this has been going on for a while. That's the pressure of the job. It is exacerbated, as you mentioned, Reese, by Nick Saban's presence there, and like people talking about, well, DeBoer could leave for Michigan, and Nick Saban's going to come back to Alabama tomorrow. Huh? Like, it's not going to happen, but that's the way that their brains are working down there, and that's the shadow that he's going to constantly be operating in. Maybe the next guy would have that diminished, because then they would be compared more directly to Kalen DeBoer. But there's a couple things about the statement that I think are amusing. Let's put it that way. You're using the NIL collective to deliver that message, not an official Alabama football account, right? Not any outlet that covers the team. And that's the way of the world. But that's the first place that you're going, which is to send that direct message out.
Is that because more recruits are seeing that?
I think it's the financial implication, because I don't, and it's on, if you, however you find it to release it on social media, it's going to gain that traction and all the other outlets are going to pick it up anyway. But I think clearly that's coordinated and designed to send that message to, you know, the people that are primarily going to be following that account are donors and boosters, and potentially, you know, the players, and whether that's high school recruits or transfer portal targets, like they're all going to be getting that message directly. Now, could you text it to them? Could you do anything else? Of course you could.
Sure.
There's a lot of different avenues that you could get that same message out. Once it's in the world, it's fair game for everybody. But that part I thought was a bit strange. Not strange, just a sign of the times. The other part is there was a former Miami Dolphins coach who also said he's not going to be the next coach at Alabama. Publicly, directly, into a microphone. And did that wind up being the case, Reese, for Nick Saban, or did he actually become the next coach?
He literally became the next head coach.
Okay, so these things, as you mentioned, are going to come down to Friday night. Win or lose, it's going to determine, I think, the future for Kalen DeBoer. Maybe I'll be wrong about that, but I know that he has expressed plenty of interest in that job in the past, and he might have a lot more of it if they lose to Oklahoma.
His first job was at Eastern Michigan, so he understands the footprint. I think he would be, in my opinion, more successful in the North. Maybe he was as successful as he was in the Pacific Northwest than he would be in the South. I still think, again, following Nick Saban's the toughest ask for anybody. So if they could have the DeBoer bridge, maybe Alabama would be better for it on the other side with the guy following the guy that followed Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I certainly think for Dillingham, it's very much a wait and see what happens Friday. Because if Alabama is able to win, do you still satiate Tide fans? Like, with a win there against Oklahoma, and Alabama goes on to the college football quarterfinals, are Alabama fans still saying, if I won the lottery, I would buy Kalen DeBoer out right now, and I'd also fire Greg Bird? It's well, insane. But
they might be appeased for like 10 days.
Sure.
But then, let's see.
But if they're dismissed.
Then they lose to Indiana? I don't know if, think about how much difficulty there is for you and me just wrapping our minds around Ohio State losing a Big Ten championship game that didn't make any difference to the actual seeding of the college football sure. playoff. It had them switch places, but they're both comfortably in with a bye. If Alabama has to wrap its mind around losing to Indiana, I don't think that's going to go very well.
No, I can't imagine a school like Oklahoma or Alabama saying, who'd we lose to again? Huh?
What?
Wait a minute.
Nick Saban would never.
And, what we've talked about with Indiana is that's a legit team. Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman.
Now, that won't matter in Tuscaloosa.
No, it won't. No,
you won't convince them of that.
No, it's their Alabama fan, Notre Dame fan, Michigan live in their own different reality. And what I would just offer to any of them listening is just try to bring yourselves into actual reality. Like, they're in the upside down of college football, where everything's so much different, but it's also kind of the same.
Well, they've only lived in that alternate reality for 100 years, so good luck.
Easier said than done. Did the Heisman committee get it right? We'll discuss next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Hey, Jackets fan.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
How many different ways can you consume morning juice?
Let's see.
Live on YouTube, live on the Fan's HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10TV Plus.
It will send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Austin Ward, Jacob Reimer rolling along with you today on a Reaction Monday. College football playoff starts Friday night at 8 o'clock, Alabama and Oklahoma. And then at noon on Saturday, you'll have Miami at Texas A&M. Winner there gets the Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl. That'll be on New Year's Eve at 7:30. This past Saturday night, you had Diego Pavia, Fernando Mendoza, Jeremiah Love, and Julian Sain in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And it was Indiana's quarterback for the first time all time, anytime, taking home the single
so much history being made
individual honor that you can be given or you can have bestowed upon you in college football. Mendoza received 643 first place votes. He won by a point margin, 2,362. Pavia was second. Vanderbilt's quarterback got 1,435 points, 189 first place votes. You had Jeremiah Love with 46 first place votes. Julian Sin had 8 first place votes. And the linebacker out of Texas Tech, Jacob Rodriguez, had 17 first place votes. Jeremiah Smith got 4. Caleb Downs got 2 first place votes.
Kudos to those voters, by the way, for looking at this and actually trying to take it seriously from who is the best football player in America, yep. Not who has the best stats. And I'm not diminishing the accomplishments of Mendoza, I'm not trying to do that when I say this, but Jeremiah Smith's numbers were, not Heisman level winning. They were not as eye popping as everyone anticipated. Some ways he was a victim of his own success, and judging that based off a year ago, he's still one of the most productive wide receivers that you're ever going to find. Yeah. The numbers are, there's nothing wrong with them, but taking that and Caleb Downs, who, you look through his box score in the stat sheet, it doesn't immediately jump off the page that this guy is as dominant a defender as you're going to find in the country. So six combined first place votes for those two. I'd love to know those voters and shake their hand for appreciating something that the numbers might not have reflected.
Because I think there are two different questions that are asked about the Heisman is who had the best season in college football and then who's the best player. Because certainly Jeremiah and Caleb are on a very short list of best player.
They are the, and we see this a lot, and it's the semantics. And there are so many ballots, as you mentioned, Reeser, like 643 first place votes. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you have like 900, 1,000 voters these days for the Heisman Trophy. Everyone's going to view it through their own lens. And it's the matter of most outstanding college football player or most valuable. And yep. we see this every year with the MVP in the NFL or really awards for, you know, any major sport. How do you want to determine that? Because what would Indiana look like if they did not have Fernando Mendoza? They would not be 13-0. They would not have beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. They would not be the number one seed in the college football playoff. So if your viewpoint, when you got that sheet of paper or the email into your inbox, as they do it now, and that's how, the way you wanted to answer it, who's the most irreplaceable player in college football?
Sure.
Like the Indiana quarterback or the Vanderbilt quarterback
yeah.
are going to get more credit for that than any Ohio State player. And that's, I mentioned this as well, like the voting for college football itself is broken, and we're going to probably touch on that more specifically with the Biletnikoff Award, but well, Ohio State players and the team itself are held to a much higher standard because they're surrounded by so many good players, because they have great coaching, and every year they are in the national title picture. Is that fair to the individuals? Is it ridiculous that Ryan Day's never going to win the Big Ten Coach of the Year or a National College Football Award like that?
Urban never won it. Trestle never won it.
Like it is crazy, and it doesn't make sense. But at this point, you just have to accept that that's the way of the world for Ohio State. And judging the success of the team by the individual awards is not going to work. It is going to be up to the college football playoff and winning a national championship. And that's what these guys want to play for anyway.
Right. And I think I throw out Jeremiah's Heisman line: 4 first place votes, 18 second place votes, 36 third place votes. He's also Big Ten Receiver of the Year. But the Biletnikoff, which goes to the most outstanding wide receiver in the country, went to USC's Mekhi Lemon.
What conference is he playing?
Plays in the Big Ten.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't make sense.
It does not. And I wonder if this is more of an award for Lemon, in kind of the same way that Jeremiah Love received legitimate Heisman consideration, 46 first place votes, as a guy going out with a really productive season. Thank you for your service.
I'm glad that you wrote these down, the numbers from Mekhi Lemon, because you say, well, maybe these voters were just tricked by a statistical outlier of a season.
Well,
I don't think that was the case here. They're pretty much identical.
They're almost the same.
And the
for
coach
Lemon and Jeremiah Smith.
And the coaches in the Big Ten made their voices very clearly known. The media that covers the Big Ten, there was no real dispute. The person, and Jeremiah posted on social media about it. I think he's not exactly thrilled by this turn of events. He hasn't won the Biletnikoff in either of the first two seasons at Ohio State. Had a pretty compelling case both years. But, you know, I think that if that's a little extra motivational fuel, it certainly seems like that's the way he's going to take it. But, you know, as you just look at these numbers, you don't understand how voters could reach this conclusion.
I sure feel bad for Miami or Texas A&M corners.
Can you imagine if fired up Jeremiah Smith is also playing against Miami after all this conversation about the Hurricanes over the last couple of years? It doesn't seem like a good situation for the Hurricanes.
I think Texas A&M is going to win, but God, I really want Miami.
I would agree with that. And I also think that Miami is a better team. So it would make a more compelling and competitive matchup for Ohio State. Think about 6 or 7 weeks ago, you know, the Mondays that we'd be talking, Reeser and Bo would be looking at this number one versus number two. Oh, Miami's the best team right here. People are projecting them to play for the national championship. I think that'd be fun. Both of the matchups, I think, are winnable for Ohio State. But, you know, is it going to be easy to go into Kyle Field and win on the road in the playoff for Miami? I would say very much no, but I'd like to see it for sure.
I'd like to see if Texas A&M's crowd traveled. Like I'm a little torn on it because I would like to see Ohio State beat Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Yeah,
because it would probably be a strong Aggie contingent despite how well Ohio State fans travel and the alumni base in the Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, you're not going to force the Scarlet and Gray out of it. That's not going to happen.
It would just be I love this about the college football playoff. I don't love how many games there are. I don't love how it's going to constantly expand, but I love how it does give us these matchups. And I love how, especially with the first round games, you're going to see, you know, a lot of crimson, a lot of red Saturday in Norman. And then in College Station, you're going to see a lot of orange and green in that sea of red. It's going to be, you know, the other two matchups aren't worth our attention.
Probably not even going to see like a sellout crowd at home for those. Yeah, if we're being honest,
stadium.
Like, do you think? I mean, maybe Oregon, but I don't know.
First time for them doing it?
Especially if
they can actually get a win in the college football playoff.
I'm going to have to pay attention because I haven't even looked. Like what the ticket price is, what the get-in rate is going to be, you know, for Oregon. Because if you try to tell those home fans, well, this is a historic moment. It is a college football playoff game here. And you try to raise the ticket prices ahead of what, I mean, they played Indiana there earlier this year in a top five matchup.
Yeah.
You can't convince people that that's the situation that Oregon is going to be in on Saturday. Like what are they favored by right now? Like 3 touchdowns?
Yeah, Oregon's a 21.5 point favorite.
So how are you going to, they're a passionate fan base. I enjoyed the trip out to Eugene last year outside of the traffic and their inability to actually host big games. They're not equipped to do it out there, and maybe they won't have to put people on the roof of the press box this time. I don't know. I hope for their sake that they don't, but,
it's where the JMU beat gets to go.
Yeah, that beat is probably just a little bit smaller than Ohio State, so maybe everyone will be safely tucked away inside the press box and not strapped to the roof. But, you know, could there be empty seats for these games? I think that might have to be another one of the wake-up calls to, should we continue to push this to 16? If you're going to have matchups that, which is unavoidable given the structure, are 3 touchdowns, you know, point spreads, is that going to be compelling for people to go buy these tickets, and especially if the price goes up?
On ESPN, it shows tickets as low as $136.
So if that's Oregon fans jumping at the opportunity, or even James Madison people wanting to fly across the country and hope for an upset, like, good for them. I can imagine that being a tough sell. Remember what we were talking about here a year ago, mm-hmm. which was Tennessee fans taking it over and Ohio State fans not even, you know, some of them not wanting to be there, not wanting to support. Now, that didn't wind up necessarily being the case, and it was still, I think, around, from my vantage point, 70% Ohio State fans. It was not the takeover that the Vols claimed that they were going to stage in the horseshoe, but some of these matchups are always going to be difficult for people to wrap their minds around, and certainly their wallets.
All I got to say is the last time JMU was a 12 seed against a 5 seed,
what happened?
They pulled off an upset.
Oh.
Against a Big Ten team, too.
Oh, he's always bringing it back around to hoops.
It's a really good job out of him. Like there's commitment to the gimmick. Speaking of gimmicks, if his time is truly up, whose time is it now?
Woo.
That's next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Men.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. We're 16 days out from the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. It's the third time in 3 seasons for the Buckeyes in Dallas. OSU will play the winner of Saturday's first-round game between Texas A&M and Miami. The Hurricanes and Aggies meet Saturday at noon in College Station for their first-round CFP game. Friday night at 8, Alabama plays at Oklahoma. In college hoops, Ohio State's 8-2 after a double overtime win over West Virginia this past Saturday in Cleveland. Buckeyes are off until this Saturday. They'll play number 14 North Carolina in Atlanta. You'll hear from Ohio State's head coach at noon today on the Jake Diebler radio show. In the NFL, week 15 wraps up tonight in Pittsburgh. The Steelers host the Dolphins at 8:15. You can hear it on The Fan following the Buckeyes show. This update is sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Get them at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Tom to Barry for a decade. The broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Happy Monday. Eric Reeser, Jacob Reimer, Austin Ward's joining the friendship for all 3 hours. We have a Mondays at 10:30, but he's kind enough to give us some of his time before he goes to the aforementioned fun casual joint.
It's going
to
be great.
Do the Roosters live show. Plenty for you guys to talk about.
Stay busy this time of year. I'm wondering how Bob and Jay-Z will react to what's been going on in Ann Arbor. I bet there's some thoughts.
Is the word Schadenfreude?
I don't know if Bob knows that word.
I'm sure he does.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see if he uses it then.
If he hasn't already.
I guess I'm more curious about the way he would pronounce it.
That's the biggest question.
Yeah.
But you get that on YouTube. Anything Austin does, YouTube. Anything we do, YouTube, wherever it is, you get your podcasting. But Austin's partner, Jerry Birmingham, is going to join us at 10:30. I'm interested to get Berm's thoughts on what happens with Michigan's class of 2026.
Yeah.
Some of their guys early in 2027. And then what guys on this roster likely are going to greener grass pastures, because that's what I think's in front of them right now. This Michigan football team is going to be, to say it, put it mildly, a down year.
Yeah. Any opportunity like this where you're resetting your program, and we don't need to talk about the reasons for it. We don't have to rehash that.
We know. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows what's going on there. But if you're looking towards the future and what this means, why do they have to get a coach in place? Well, the way that they operated the shenanigans on the signing period may mitigate some of those losses, but the transfer portal is going to open, you know, on January 2nd. And if they don't hire a coach, there could be another bonus window where the players could then leave. But, you know, the movement period here is already underway for college football. We have talked about the challenges Ohio State faces of playing, you know, playoff games, postseason games at the same time, but everybody else is moving on, and they're putting the puzzle piece together for 2026, and you need a coach to do that. So Michigan needs to, I think, operate with a level of urgency here that might surprise some people. They really have no choice unless they don't want to have a roster at all for next year.
And I do think whomever they get as their head coach, whether it's Kalen DeBoer or Kenny Dillingham or third party or potential third, you know, surprise candidate, I likely think they're better X's and O's than Sharon Moore was.
I think that that's a high likelihood. It'd be difficult to find someone worse at it.
I'm sure if you had a bookie somewhere online in an alleyway, he might give you odds on Tom Brady as the next head coach at Michigan. Because whenever that happens, you see the silliest names come on the board.
Nick Brady, Saban. He's available.
Sometime Nick Saban's going to come back and coach your favorite team, right?
John Gruden.
John Gruden wants to be back in coaching, whether it's college, whether it's the NFL.
Anywhere. Give him a job.
Yeah, I forgot about Gruden.
How could you?
I don't know. Tennessee, it's a bad job out of me.
Tennessee fans won't let you. I guess it's a reminder that they've been able to keep Josh Heupel in place for long enough that John Gruden's name hasn't been coming up as a college football coach.
With heat on the seat, Josh Heupel goes out and hires Jim Knowles. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Not sure that it's going to get the instant results that you're hoping for or perhaps need, but John Gruden's waiting there.
Yeah, that's the
that job
obvious,
comes
the
open.
Next obvious choice, right? You know, you fire whomever, you bring John Gruden out of Barstool. I bring up Tom Brady because this is going to be an NFL postseason for the first time since 1998. They'll not include Brady, Peyton Manning, or Patrick Mahomes.
It's wild, isn't it?
That's nuts.
Watching it, the end of that game, the Chiefs losing, and then seeing Patrick Mahomes being helped to the locker room, I certainly didn't enjoy, you know, watching the Chiefs dynasty. Some of the matchups with the Bengals were entertaining, but they'd gone the other way for them the last couple of years, and it slipped away from Joe Burrow as well, who will not be in the postseason either.
Right.
So, but it is a reminder that that time marches on, and it was a weekend full of that across the sports world. But you wonder how Patrick Mahomes will recover from that, if there's any way forward to bounce back from as severe of an injury as that looks like it's going to be, what that means for the Chiefs and his legacy, if that's already secured, if there will not be better football in the future for Patrick Mahomes, which comes for everybody at some point. But that was like, to see them knocked out of the playoffs and to have now this swirling uncertainty with one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it was pretty wild to see happen on Sunday.
Yeah, so Kansas City falls at home to the LA Chargers 16-13. Mahomes out for the season and probably longer with a torn ACL. A bad day for injuries all across the NFL. Micah Parsons goes out with an ACL. It felt like every game had a couple of players that felt, you know, that were either taken out of the game or that missed some time with injuries. I don't know if humans are meant to play in as frigid temperatures as what you had from Denver clear through to the East Coast. But another crazy stat with Tom Brady, because it always, I guess, circles around to Brady, that both him and Mahomes won three Super Bowls early in their careers. This is from Trey Wingo. Then tore their ACLs in their ninth season. And both the teams missed the playoffs that year. Now, Brady went on to have kind of another career renaissance after that. So where I ask, using the words of John Cena, if Mahomes' time is up, who's up next? Could be a New England quarterback in Drake May and the Patriots. Now, they did lose after blowing what was a 3-touchdown, 4-touchdown lead to the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Buffalo won 35-31. Is Josh Allen's time now?
Well, you can sign me up for that. I'd be interested in the Wyoming legend becoming the face of the NFL. He needs to win a Super Bowl. Like, yes. He's got the MVP already out there. He's got, you know, I think a good enough complement with a defense that did give up plenty of points on Sunday, but they've made plays in other games and been competitive. And, you know, I think that Josh Allen is a unique athlete at the height of his powers right now. And part of what made Mahomes great and why I say, well, maybe this is the end, is the improvisation,
the ability, it's the wizardry with his legs,
getting out of the pocket. Not necessarily that he was the fastest or most gifted runner, but just knew, had a feel for and enough athleticism to make things happen. And that was never, when you say Brady could bounce back and it was year 9, well, he was never
very different
doing any of that stuff. It wasn't going to limit what made Tom Brady great anyway. And maybe that won't be the case for Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, but the guy who's got that same sort of gift for, and a flair for the dramatic and the improvisation, it just hasn't translated yet to a Super Bowl win, is Josh Allen. And is this the moment that he can capture that? When you're looking around the rest of the landscape and the quarterbacks in the NFL who we all consider to be the best and aren't going to be involved in the postseason, mm-hmm. there's probably never going to be a better opportunity in front of Josh Allen and the Bills than they have right now.
What about the opportunity for Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're the Monday Night Football game against the Miami Dolphins. The strangest story maybe from the last week in the NFL was TJ Watt having a punctured lung after a dry needling session last week. He's not playing tonight, but he did get surgery and is on the mend from that. But if the Steelers, and they can have Aaron Rodgers, and they can be playing as okay football, as they've kind of been plodding along this week.
They definitely play okay football.
You have to have TJ Watt down the backstretch of the season if you're looking, because now they're half game up on the Ravens, who blanked the Bengals yesterday, and that was embarrassing for Cincinnati. It was embarrassing in Cleveland, for Cleveland in Chicago. But I called it this morning when I was writing my updates. I accidentally wrote instead of the AFC North, the AL Central. That's what that division is.
Just a competitive mess.
Bunch of competitive idiots. And it's just so, it's the dumb, and you can't make sense of it.
No, it's starting to make more sense.
a little bit.
I had held out some hope until the late in the fourth quarter for the Bengals against the Bills a week ago. It's like, maybe having Joe Burrow back has changed everything and the Bengals can climb back in here. They've got enough opportunities in front. No, don't. I that was my bad. That's on me for falling for that one. I think when you look at this research, and you talked about a horrible weekend in, you know, for the bottom half now of the AFC North and professional football in the great state of Ohio, how can they not both have to just hard reset with the coaching staffs? I know that Stefanski has done some positives in that tenure up in Cleveland and that Zach Taylor has been to a Super Bowl with the Bengals. They're just walking dysfunction right now. I don't know how either one can return. And that's going to be a decision that has to be made here relatively soon.
Yeah, for the Browns, it was 2020 with the playoff win. For the Bengals, it was 2022. For the Super Bowl, we're in 2025 now, guys.
It's been a few years.
John Cena has held world championships in that span.
He won the Intercontinental Championship in that span.
We'll get to the GOAT and maybe Philip Rivers back? That's next. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Okay.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel. Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies today, but don't let that fool you. Daytime highs will be in the 20s with our feels like at or below the zero mark. Partly cloudy with lows tonight in the teens, and with calmer winds, not as much of a wind chill, but still pretty chilly with that snow on the ground. And then for Tuesday, more sunshine and warmer as highs finally get above the freezing mark. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
One, two, three.
football season is weird because we actually look forward to Mondays. It's Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Reese Reimer, Austin Ward on this Reaction Monday. Temperatures 7 degrees.
Ooh, right, warming now up out there.
So we're at a heat wave. I think we're going to get into the teens today, but I think we're like 40s and 50s later in the weekend into the weekend.
We'll get through it.
The heart of it all truly is Ohio. In about 12 minutes, Jeremy Birmingham, Austin's partner on Austin and Berm, will join us.
It's a creative name.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because it tells you what it is.
It's get right to the
point.
You
don't need to, you know, dance around any of this. Here's, what are we doing? Austin and Berm.
Here we are.
It's Austin and Berm.
Now, it gets a little bit trickier because, like, I don't know, Monday's episode, this morning's episode, had Zach Bourne. He's not Berm.
Austin tomorrow and Bourne.
Tomorrow we've got Adam King for a Talking Tuesday. So he's not Berm. But then the rest of the week, you know, snap judgments, Roosters, Berm will be there for all that. So, and he's going to be on this show in 12 minutes.
We've got 16 days before the year turns over. And then on January 2nd, the transfer portal is opening. The singular window is a 15-day one. How Ohio State has to navigate everything that they've been doing leading up to a Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. And then, oh yeah, the transfer portal 2 days after that.
I actually thought, Reeser, that this month might be, and I jinxed it because I said it out loud, like, you had the difficulty for the coaching staff with the signing period before the Big Ten championship game. Yeah. But and then you had the unexpected curveball there with Brian Hartline taking the South Florida job, and that made things more difficult. But, you know, I had thought going into that week, like, maybe the way that the calendar is working out now, didn't love the fact that the signing period started the first week of December. But once you got that in the rearview mirror, like, Ohio State wouldn't have to worry about the portal being open in the middle of December. It would have a chance to look at some of the NFL draft decisions before the playoffs started and have an idea of what it might need to do once January starts. I thought this month might be a little bit more painless, a little less drama for Ohio State before they get ready for the Cotton Bowl. And that did not wind up being accurate, but there's still a chance now the next couple weeks. And get Brian Hartline settled back in Columbus to focus on either Texas A&M or Miami. You don't have to worry about, you know, the portal being active and open until after that game. I thought maybe they'd get through this without having to stress that much. And that wasn't the case before Indianapolis, but maybe now will be.
Just the conversations that have been had the last week on these airwaves, the conversations that have been had in college football, and I'm sure the conversations that have gone on at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. I would love to be a fly on the wall there for that, but for this Ohio State team and preparing for that Cotton Bowl quarterfinal, it does feel like Brian Hartline is going to stay with the team.
Yeah.
I don't know how you as a human would be able to juggle with only 24 hours in a day the responsibilities that would come with being an offensive coordinator for this Ohio State team, trying to navigate and make it back to the mountaintop of college football, all while trying to maintain the success that's been done at South Florida. Because understanding that it's a group of five job, understanding that it is one of those stepping stone jobs to something else in the Power Five, they've had success over the past couple of years under what, you know, Alex Golish was able to do. I think it was 7-7 and then 9 wins for the Bulls. Yeah. I don't think a drop off's going to be acceptable down, and it shouldn't be.
Right. And I think, as you said, that's what that standard of success is going to be for Brian Hartline there. And he's going to be doing this for the first time. So, that includes what he had to do last week with hiring support staff, making sure that you have a feel for what that roster is going to be like. He spent that time in Tampa. Now he'll be back. At least that's the expectation, that part has to be separated once you're back in Columbus and you're starting to focus on the Cotton Bowl and everything after that. You know, I know that Ryan Day is going to be more involved in the offensive game planning this month. That's, I think, a natural order of business when you take that off his plate, but also a reflection of the time constraints and demands that are going to be on Brian Hartline. Like, the thing that I'm most curious about, and I've never asked him, but now I'm going to need to, is, like, what is his preferred delivery method of caffeine? Because, as you said, there's only 24 hours a day, and he's doing two jobs.
Yeah.
So the thing that's going to go first is sleep. How are you going to get through that? What are you a coffee guy? Are you going to energy drinks? Like, what's it going to take to get through this? Because
he is as competitive as they come, and we know what he's achieved as in his playing career and what he's done in the first stage of his coaching career. But this is going to be a challenge unlike any he's ever faced.
We'll pull back the curtain just a little bit and kind of show you behind the scenes where Austin collects a lot of our audio from coaches, and he'll send it to us, and then we'll cut it up and present it to you on the air. And when Jim Knowles was defensive coordinator, some coaches have breaths. Some coaches say ums, and you start to learn ticks. Jim Knowles had sips of coffee.
Sips of coffee.
Almost every time you would ask him a question, he'd take a sip of coffee and answer the question. Maybe middle of the answer, take another sip of coffee. And I can't get that out of my head.
Depended on if he wanted to answer the question.
That's true.
He's going to go to the coffee.
And so I wonder if for Brian it is, if you're taking coffee by the mouth or if you're getting hooked up and just electrolyte.
Just shoot it directly into my veins.
I just, for what these guys have to do on a normal base, on a normal daily basis, kind of gets ramped up to an 11 or a 12 at this time of the year. And so when Berm joins us here now in about 8 minutes, I'm curious to see where Ohio State, what they plan on attacking.
Yeah.
Come January 2nd. What other team, what Brian Hartline at USF plans on attacking when the transfer portal opens? Is he more about retention, or does he see guys on Ohio State's roster, on Penn State's roster, that maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4-star guys that just never worked at their first location? Come on down to Tampa with me.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you never want to view it in those terms, but when you're talking about 3rd or 4th string options at Ohio State, you know, the chance to go play at South Florida, you might be on the field a lot more.
Yeah.
And Brian Hartline's going to have a good feel for who those people might be and how open and receptive to that sort of opportunity they would be. Now, the difficult thing, that applies to the coaching staff as well. These are high-achieving individuals, both the coaches and the players. Do they want to leave behind Ohio State and competing for national championships just so that they can maybe be on the field a little bit more? Can South Florida pay them at the level that they are already being compensated? For the coaching staff, I think that's definitely a hard no. For the players, maybe it would be a closer conversation. I don't know. But that's all that stuff is happening. Those wheels are spinning as we speak for both Ohio State, you know, Brian Hartline, South Florida. There is all of that going on now that when I said December could be drama-free is no longer the case.
Because you also, with Brian, you lean on a lot of those relationships that you built in that state.
Yeah.
For so many years, because that's probably the best, most talent-rich state in the country for football.
And it's up there.
I think it would certainly made what of the many things that made him a viable head coaching candidate, that is one of them, his ability to recruit and his ability to recruit deep in Florida.
Yep, and that's not everybody has that ability.
No.
And he is a dynamic personality. You're going to need that because that's how you stand out at that level. You have to have something that is your hook. And for some coaches, it is, you know, their offensive system or their great defensive minds. I think for Brian Hartline, it is talent acquisition and identification of guys who can play. Because you think about some of the folks that he has signed at Ohio State, the ones that, you know, are pushing at wide receiver and are blocked, like taking on a project like Bodpin Miller. It's like, that's someone that he really wanted, like thinks that he could play wide receiver. You're going to have to do that times like 50 at South Florida, but that's been the hallmark of Brian Hartline's career.
And the ability to captivate an audience, I don't think over the last 25 years, maybe 30 years, anybody's been able to do better than John Cena. And I know this was something that you had your eye on Saturday, where his final match in Washington, D.C., and he tapped out to a very large German man. And he had not tapped out or had taken a loss by submission in a match in over 20 years.
Yeah. I didn't think that was going to be the ending racer. I thought if I was fantasy booking this, and I'm a wrestling fan, so obviously I did that, I thought that he would pass out to solidify one of John Cena's many trademarks, many catchphrases, never give up. But the way that they scheduled this, the way that they worked it with John sort of smiling and then saying, yeah, my time is up. Gunther's time is now, or Cody's time is now, or Roman's time is now. Mm-hmm. Smiling and acknowledging that, I think, worked in a way that I wouldn't have necessarily anticipated. And I thought it worked well for me. It was a great send-off. You know, I thought he might give a lengthy speech afterwards instead of just the video package send-off. But, you know, I know I talked to some other wrestling fans. Well, I'm sure Maddie will weigh in on it later on. But, you know, people didn't love the fact that you had Super Cena in that era for so long and they were trying to be more kid-friendly. But professional wrestling or the WWE would not be anywhere near the level of popularity that it is right now if John Cena had not put in all that work to get them through to the other side, had been able to take the criticism when people didn't like him. So I know that you know, Liberty was decked out head to toe. She's eight. She didn't see like all the highs of John Cena's career,
right?
Or ruthless aggression version of John Cena against Kurt Angle. But the ability to connect that he had with the audience, I don't know that it's ever really happened at the level that he did. And so, you know, seeing him go out, she cried. I thought it was sad but fitting. So I was happy with the way that it ended. And I think we can all argue about the storylines throughout the entire year, but it ended, I think, on a fitting note.
I mean, he's certainly, for generations of wrestling fans, their Austin or their Rock.
And they needed that because yeah. I think that the Austin and Rock era and the Attitude era did not last as long as people think.
No.
What John Cena did for 23 years is very different because Stone Cold's body broke down. He had issues with management. The Rock actually did leave for Hollywood and wasn't as intent on coming back. John Cena kept coming back, and he did it for a really long time.
And the thing with Cena is, and The Rock did this, Dave Bautista did this, is he's transcended just that section of entertainment to where you see him in friggin' Honda commercials. And you see him on HBO Max. He's Peacemaker. And,
yep.
And so for things that this weekend I didn't have myself gravitated towards was FCF's playoffs, was the John Cena retirement, and I stuck around the Cleveland Browns just a little bit too long. We're going to take a break from all of that nonsense. And we'll bring on Austin's partner, Jeremy Birmingham, in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends. On
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery, your destination for handcrafted cocktails, locally inspired dishes, and award-winning whiskey war. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Okay, so he is.
I am here. Austin I'm Ward, right here.
And he's with us because we're contractually obligated to play that open for him.
I demanded it.
We were thinking of doing it every segment, but that bit would have gotten old at 9:30. But we do go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on a man who may be sick with Austin at this point
all
in
the
year. Jeremy Birmingham, Austin and Berm, wherever you do your podcasting, on YouTube. These guys are everywhere, especially this time of the year when you might be thinking, Berm, I got to get everything for Christmas. I've got to maybe take some time off. You get the transfer portal coming up in 17 days, a Cotton Bowl quarterfinal in 16 days. Over the last week, which has probably been the most insane 7 days in college football that I can remember, what was the most wild story for you?
I mean, I don't think you get wilder than the Sherrone Moore story. I mean, from an Ohio State perspective, obviously the Chris Henry stuff was very, very interesting. But as far as a big picture of college football, you can't get more interesting than the Sherrone Moore stuff. The only thing I've ever heard more interesting than that was the intro that you guys just had for Austin Ward, because that was intense.
Well, you know, I'm in demand, Berm.
That was terrifying, kind of.
I know. Well, I asked you this last week, and do you think that, I don't know if the week's perspective has changed anything or half a week's perspective, what does Michigan need to do to keep its roster together? I think it did part of that with the timing and getting through the signing period. But how much of a full-scale overhaul are we looking at with the transfer portal, players asking out of their financial commitments or letters of intent? What's going to happen here?
Well, I mean, you've started to see a handful of players from their 2026 class already receive their release from their Big Ten scholarship agreements and their NIL agreements. And we've already seen one of their former signees has committed to Texas Tech, Matt Ludwig, big-time tight end from, I think he's from like North Dakota or something. So, I mean, we'll see. But they've got other guys in their class that are exploring their options. And, you know, ultimately, because we live in such a different world now, I don't know that there's anything that a new coach really is going to do other than come in and be a coach that player specifically likes, because ultimately it's going to come down to how much money Michigan can raise from its boosters, from its big time donors, the people that maybe were feeling a little bit unrewarded and underwhelmed with the Sherrone Moore era, and you hope that maybe a change at the helm will re-inspire them to start donating, because that's what it's going to take. And, you know, we saw even with Ohio State, which is clearly not in the same position that Michigan's in, but once you lose part of the advantage that you have to, like, the discount getters, like the Brian Hartlines, you're going to have to pay more. And that's now, because of the chaos, if these guys have agents that are doing their job and being smart, they're going to try to take advantage of it and find some leverage. And so it's interesting. Obviously, you saw the Kalen DeBoer announcement or statement on Sunday saying he wasn't interested in any other jobs. But, you know, maybe that changes next Sunday if they lose to Alabama or lose to Oklahoma on Saturday. So I think that they're trying to implore people to be patient. But the fact is, we don't live in a very patient world, and guys are going to get antsy pretty quick.
Berm, did it strike you as odd that DeBoer made that announcement on the page, not of Alabama Athletics or Alabama Football, but it was Alabama's NIL Collective, where he decided to let everybody know, I am not interested right now for the Michigan job?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the page that people are going to notice it more, because, again, those are the people who are paying for his players down. It's probably some sort of deal he had to work through them or whatever. I'm not sure, but you know, you saw Greg Byrne, the Alabama AD, go out and out of his way and make sure that he posted it and resent it out from the Alabama accounts. And again, it means really nothing this time of the year, because next week it happened. He has not signed an extension like all these other coaches that Penn State got, Rich. So, I mean, he also probably doesn't need one. He's only in year two of his contract. So it does lend us some interesting conversations, but who Michigan hires and how quickly they hire someone is just going to be a fascinating subplot, because they do have a lot of chaos going on. You don't know if they're going to have an athletic director for much longer. There's clearly not a lot of people up there who believe that Ward Manuel is capable of handling his job. They already have an interim president. So if you have an interim president, an interim AD, and a roster that is on the verge of completely turning over, it does seem like it would behoove them to make a move quickly. But now that they're doing this system-wide, program-wide investigation into their athletic department, you wonder how quickly they can really move.
All right, let's put the focus back on the Buckeyes. This is an interesting week, Berm, where maybe someone gets some of those spring camp-style practices trying to ramp back up. Still don't know if it's going to be Texas A&M or Miami yet in the Cotton Bowl. What do you think the Buckeyes need to get done back in the Woody this week?
I think the most important thing is really to just get the taste of the Indiana game out of their mouths. Make sure that they go out of their way to show the people in the building that just because Brian Hartline may not be there, that nothing really has changed. The offense, the game planning, the scheming, everything is going to be what it has been. And to get back to normalcy, because, you know, Ryan Day spent all year long talking about routines and making sure that they were in them. And everybody around that building knows that the 4 days leading up to the Big Ten championship game were completely out of routine. So now it's about getting back into the rhythm of things. And
Jeremy Birmingham, our guest on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Austin and Berm, wherever you consume sports.
A lot of time.
Sorry, but we kind of broke up with you. They're definitely our fault on this end.
No way. He's coming back from Cincinnati. It's his fault.
Were you at the Bengals game yesterday, Berm?
We don't want to talk about that, but yeah.
How was it? Did you get the snow off your seat?
I know. We had to take the snow off of our seat.
I think that's against NFL rules.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying, honestly. We walked into the stadium, we're like, hey, how come our seats still look like they have snow on them? So then we had to go there and get to them early, and it was pretty awful. I'm not going to lie. It was a good weekend, bad time at the Bengals game.
Then the game happened.
Then the game started.
Sorry, Berm. We're hoping to give you, a much better Monday. But in, what is it, 17 days, the transfer portal is going to open. The way Michigan's handled their business over the past couple of years has me thinking that what they might try to do to salvage any part of this, Berm, is to have the coach hired 5 days before January 2nd and have 15 days so they don't have to worry about 30 days. With what the Wolverines did and having all of their guys sign is a far cry from what Ohio State did, and be honest and transparent with their signees before allowing Brian Hartline, or before letting the Brian Hartline news come out, so that guys like Chris Henry could have the opportunity to kind of reassess things but still commit to Ohio State. Just what were those discussions like between Hartline and Henry and the rest of the coaching staff on that day a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, it really started the night before. I mean, I was told that Ohio State found out about midnight on Tuesday prior to the start of the signing period that Brian Hartline was taking the job at South Florida. And it then became a pretty much all hands on deck situation for Ryan Day and the other staff members to make sure that they were beginning the conversations with not just Chris Henry and Jerquaden Gibbs, also Brock Boyd, but also Jaden Ricketts, and making sure that they said, hey, this is what's coming. You know, Brock and Jaden did not have any hesitation. They signed instantly and immediately as planned. But then it was basically 48 hours of it's not reassuring, it's trying to prove or just calm down, because when you coach at Ohio State, you are taught a lesson early, and that's that no one person is bigger than the program. And that's what Ryan Day reiterated on signing day when asked about Brian Hartline. And, you know, you can fully acknowledge and fully appreciate everything Brian did, but still know that that doesn't mean he's going to be a guy that's irreplaceable. No one's irreplaceable at a place like Ohio State, and that's been proven over the last 100-plus years. So the Buckeyes' real message was to try to convince Chris and Jerquaden, like, hey, nothing really is changing here. And those kids, and again, as I said earlier about the agencies, like, once you realize you have that opportunity to gain some leverage and change the tenor of the relationship a little bit, agents who are good at their job are certainly quick. I believe, and maybe this is the tinfoil hat wearing guy that I am, but it was not a coincidence to me that the Henry family released a podcast that week and started their own podcast, similar as we've seen the Caleb Downs and his brother do. So it was a good way to get that podcast up and running if you just add a little intrigue into the recruitment of Chris Henry, because clearly it didn't seem like he truly wanted to go anywhere else.
Well, that's it played out, and it spiced up that week leading up to Indianapolis. I hope, Burham, that we can have a little bit more drama-free build-up to the Cotton Bowl. I shouldn't jinx it, because that's what I did 2 weeks ago, and now I did it again. But, you know, if you look at that and what's going to happen for Ohio State, assuming a victory, which I am, I think they're going to beat either Texas A&M or Miami, and then the portal opens, like, how will the Buckeyes manage that, and how do these, I don't know, last week, this week, getting the NFL draft decisions and maybe having some meetings with the players, how will that influence the plan of attack for January?
Well, I mean, you certainly hope that you have a true sense of what you need on the roster before you walk into the transfer portal window. The Buckeyes are going to have those conversations, as you mentioned, some last week, some this week, figure out who's going to be departing from their side of things. But, you know, there's no really any secrets anymore. So most agents who have players that are capable of playing for Ohio State, If their clients are already thinking about leaving or have that intention, the Buckeyes already know. So they're going to be able to scout and evaluate players around the country and get a sense of what they need. They signed 27 guys in the prep signing day period. So you have a lot of incoming bodies in the next couple of weeks. 26 of those 27 guys are enrolling early. A lot of players that you're going to get a first look at once they're on campus. And you just need to make sure that you're getting the parts you need. Ohio State has proven itself pretty smart in the transfer portal, not being super, super aggressive, but getting the pieces it needs. And on defense, when you're looking at potentially losing 9 starters, you're going to need to replace some parts. So the Buckeyes are going to hope that they have open conversations with their own players and get the sense of who's going around the country, because that 10-day window, 15-day window is going to be miserable for them when they're trying to prepare for the Fiesta Bowl or anything else.
Jeremy Birmingham, our guest, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Austin and Berm, wherever you consume your sports. Berm, thanks so much for the time this morning. Safe travels home. And I guess I could say, hopefully, it starts to slow down a little bit for you, but the next month, it's going to be a lot of fun, but we'll enjoy the coverage with you in Austin.
I appreciate it, guys. See ya.
And again, the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I did just real quick wanted to ask him, which of the, because it's Christmas, but I didn't think about it until late, and we're also way up against it. What would his Christmas gift be from the transfer portal? Austin, I might ask you that.
I'll do it.
Thing or not a thing. All next, right. Spishman and Friends on The Fan.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. It took 2 overtimes, but Ohio State comes from behind to defeat West Virginia 89-88 here in Cleveland. What's the best way for you to describe how you feel about this game, Jake?
Tremendous toughness, togetherness by the Buckeyes. I mean, just absolute never give up, never quit, fight to the end. You know, it was really impressive. A lot of guys had some great individual performances, but it's certainly worth noting Bruce, what he was able to do playing almost 50 minutes tonight. So happy for him, happy for our guys, because they were able to just dig in and find a way, man. Just found a way.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
89-88, the final. Ohio State defeats West Virginia in two overtimes.
You know, Coach, it's a team game. There's no question about it. But the challenge that Bruce Thornton took in trying to stay with Honor Huff, just running around screens, and for that young man to have the ability to guard that young man on one side and then have the ability to play almost 50 minutes and score late, that speaks volumes about where Bruce Thornton has taken his game.
You know, I've said this, Ron, and this is what makes him special. All he cares about is winning. He just wants to do whatever it takes to win, and it's impressive. He truly is one of the absolute special players in college basketball, and he showed why tonight.
Jake, how about the lift you got off the bench from Amari Bynum when things weren't going well?
Oh, impressive. He's really coming into his own, you know, right in front of our eyes. He's just continuing to be more and more consistent. He was a monster on the glass. Really challenged him at halftime. He's great second half. He just keeps getting better and better because he keeps approaching every single day the same. I just want to get better and help Ohio State win. And I think that's what we're seeing come to fruition on the court.
Okay, it's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Progressive Insurance.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
FIFA World. Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, so the thing that I wanted to ask our guest in the last segment, Jeremy Birmingham, I'm going to pose to Austin Ward. A portal present from Santa to Ohio State would be?
Going to probably need defensive end to be at the top of that. And maybe it'll be Chaz Coleman coming back to the great state of Ohio and departing Penn State. I don't know. That would be someone that you could put on top of the wish list. What you hope if you're Ohio State, and the true gift would be you know, not necessarily worrying about the portal, but the NFL draft portal exits. If you can keep Kenyatta Jackson and Caden McDonald, who are, you know, on the fringe there of being, there's nothing guaranteed about being a first round pick. You know, I think both are open to a return. If some of the feedback they get makes that a dicier proposition, you hold on to those two guys, that changes the calculus dramatically heading into January, because if Caden McDonald goes, there's certainly not a like for like replacement for him on Ohio State's roster. And then I would flip the order, and then a defensive tackle, I don't know who that would be at the top of that wish list.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Certainly on January 2nd, a handful of portal backs will be available. Florida's DJ Lagway announced today that he'll be headed to the NCAA's transfer portal when it opens on January 2nd. He spent the last two seasons at Florida in Gainesville. So Lagway in 2025, 1,500 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing. He's got the athleticism to change the and elevate the ceiling of, you know, probably a fringe college football playoff contender. Not, you know, there's always going to be movement. Once you have the coaching carousel done, then the next thing that you see spinning in college football these days is the quarterbacks. Lagway's going to be coveted by just about everybody. You know, he is inconsistent. You mentioned some of the turnovers. You know, how much of that is a product of poor coaching and poor development in Florida? Probably a good chunk of it. But you're going to see, you know, Lagway available. You might see Bryce Underwood available. You see Sam Levitt trying to move. Like, this is that season now where January is going to be about those high-dollar quarterbacks. I don't think it's a thing for Ohio State, but it's a thing for somebody.
I think the main thing about this is Lane Kiffin retweeting the post from On3.
He's already in full troll mode, isn't he?
Yeah. So maybe that's a potential option there for LSU next year.
Yeah, Trinidad Chambliss, maybe, depending on how Ole Miss does in the college football playoff.
Well, one thing we know is that Lane Kiffin will take a transfer quarterback. He can't identify his own guy. That doesn't work.
After finishing second in the Heisman Trophy voting on Saturday, Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia posted a message to Heisman voters on social media. Says, F all the voters, but family for life. He did apologize for the vulgar post with a 3-paragraph message on X. I didn't handle the emotions well at all and did not represent myself the way I wanted to. I have much love and respect for the Heisman voters in the selection process, and I apologize for being disrespectful. It was a mistake, and I am sorry. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
Almost, to me, not a thing, because this is just what Diego Pavia does. I mean, it's not out of character for him to respond to it that way. The apology in some ways is.
Yes.
I think that's a little bit of a thing. Maybe he is growing up, but it's his agent, I think, that made him do that. Like, you're jeopardizing endorsements and NFL draft stock and everything else moving forward by acting this way in public. So, like, I think if anyone was unaware that this was how Diego Pavia carried himself, then it would be a thing. But for me, that's exactly what I expected, and that's probably why a number of voters did not want him to win.
I think that's why it's a thing, is because how much will it affect his draft stock and, right, yeah, like you mentioned, endorsements and everything. And it really is kind of like a generational run of going from just extreme confidence to then a full week of just being annoying. Like, this has been
the cycle goes fast.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Also, Pavia got caught with program height on the stage. He's 6 foot, same as Jeremiah Love, 6 foot. There's a noticeable difference in the height between those two gentlemen, and certainly Pavia nowhere near the height of a true 6'3", Julian Sain, and then Fernando Mendoza's up there as well.
Yeah, it's that happens.
Did you see the clip going around of him? They were asking him a greatest of all time bracket, and just the first option was Johnny Manziel or Lamar Jackson, and he said, neither, me.
Oh, come on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then they were like, wait, it's a bracket, and he just like, oh, and then the clip ends.
I think in the same...
Great content.
Yeah.
A different clip at Julian, say, Reggie Bush.
Okay,
Julian Sain, and I don't think this is breaking any news, but knows ball.
He talked about last week, I interviewed him on Wednesday before he left for New York City, and he was a huge Marcus Mariota guy. Now, of course, the Oregon season that year didn't end the way that a young Julian Sain wanted, but now he can understand and appreciate how that happened at Ohio State.
In his first action since early November, Spurs big man Victor Wembanyama came off the bench for San Antonio's NBA Cup semifinal game against the Thunder. That was this past Saturday in Vegas. First time ever Wemby came off the bench, which shouldn't surprise anybody. But Wemby scored 22 points in 21 minutes. The Spurs beat the Thunder 111-109, just the second loss for OKC on the season. Now the Thunder are chasing that mark by the Golden State Warriors, but San Antonio moves on to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at 8:30 for the NBA's in-season tournament championship. Thing or not a thing.
Oh, hang the banner.
The Emirates Cup, baby.
I don't thing-ish. I don't. Are people excited about this? I want Victor Wembanyama to be healthy. I think that that's better for basketball. Reimer can certainly weigh in on that much more in depth than I can. But I just hope that's the thing, that he is making progress, that he's able to stay on the court, because he is one of these. We throw the term around a lot, but he's a generational talent. It's a lot more fun to watch when he's out there.
The thing to me is, in that semifinal against the Thunder, he's out here screaming for Chet Holmgren missed free throws and trying to build a rivalry there with the Thunder. And I love every bit of that, because we're at this point now where it's like we're kind of wondering where that next NBA rivalry will be. Like, you've had like the Jordan and the Isaiah Thomases, the Steph and LeBrons. Like, could this be your next one? Is Wemby and the Thunder or Chet or whatever?
To your point, Austin, the league needs Victor Wembanyama to be healthy. The league needs Wemby to play in for the rest of the season. Certainly, they will try to make it a big deal as Wemby's playing the Knicks. Like, certainly, I think that might be a more interesting game, Wemby against New York, than it would be. Even as good as the Thunder has been, more eyeballs will be on the Victor Wembanyama show, certainly. Well, Blitz the Weekend coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
This holiday season,
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Week 15 in the NFL wraps up tonight in Pittsburgh. The Steelers cling to a slight lead in the AFC North. They'll host the Dolphins at 8:15. It'll be without TJ Watt. Their defensive captain is recovering from a punctured lung suffered last week. Here Monday Night Football on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. Pittsburgh leads Baltimore by a half game in the division. In college football, number 2 Ohio State's got 16 days to prepare for the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Buckeyes are going to play the winner of Saturday's game between Miami and Texas A&M. The college football playoff starts Friday with Oklahoma hosting Alabama. In college hoops, Ohio State's 8-2 thanks to a double OT win over West Virginia. Buckeyes are going to head to Atlanta to take on North Carolina this Saturday at 3 o'clock. Hear from OSU's head coach at noon today on the Jake Diebler Show. And in the NHL, the Columbus Blue Jackets look to halt a 5-game slide tomorrow night hosting the Anaheim Ducks. You can hear CBJ Hockey right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Reeser, Reimer, Austin Ward jumping on the friendship with us. We got an hour left in the program. Shahan Jayaraja from CBS Sports will join us at 11:15. He was the one that really brought all of this Texas Tech stuff to my attention, where he had been covering the Red Raiders and their ambitious NIL booster, the singular oil billionaire who I think Landman was really written after. Like, he's Monty in Landman, and now he's trying to change college football at this Texas oil guy now. And, you know, at a government level, at an NIL level, the Red Raiders, the four seed in the college football playoff, a team, Austin, that I do think presents a lot of the same challenges to anybody that Indiana did.
Well, they spent their money in the right way.
Yeah.
I think that's important. Now, when they've been vulnerable, it's because the quarterback play has not matched everything else. But that's the importance of signing, recruiting, spending on offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You don't have to be perfect at quarterback to win games at that level. Now, we'll see if they can win 3 of them in a row.
Yeah.
With that, if they can, you're going to have to elevate and make big time throws and score a lot of points in some of these games in the in talent equated hardware matchups, to use the Ohio State parlance. But they did it in a way that makes a lot more sense. You see people around the country dropping huge bags for wide receivers and wanting to spend it on running backs. That's, if you don't have
great offensive lineman and defensive lineman, you're just not going to win a championship. Yeah. And Texas Tech understood that.
Again, the Red Raiders will be playing in the Orange Bowl. That'll be along with the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve is the Cotton Bowl, Ohio State, either Texas A&M or Miami.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
But that's for another weekend. We got to break down what happened this past weekend. We'll blitz the NFL tomorrow, so a lot of things from this past Saturday and Sunday will not be reflective of the National Football League. After we talk with Shahan at 11:17, we're going to have to discuss a little bit about what happened with the Browns yesterday, because, woof.
Can't wait to get your thoughts on that.
All right, Austin, from this past weekend, what did you have?
I unfortunately expected the Jackets to lose on Thursday and Saturday night. I don't want to say it, and I wish I had been wrong, but I had been, you know, kicking it around when I, and it became clear that Julian Sain was not going to win the Heisman after the loss to Indiana. I canceled, you know, my reservations in New York City to go cover the Heisman Trophy presentation. It's like, well, again, big opportunity. Take the girls out, maybe go see the Jackets. And when that snow started falling, I was like, no way, I'm not going to watch them go lose. And you and I mentioned this off air. It's like, where are you on optimism and excitement? I just had such high hopes for this year.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe shame on me. It's possible the standings still allow for the Jackets to climb right back in it. But I did think they would lose both games, and that influenced my decision to not go down to Nationwide.
Yeah, like they've done in seasons previous. I mean, they don't have the Stadium Series game to look forward to in the next calendar year, but I find myself emotionally moving the goalposts for the Blue Jackets, and whenever that happens in December, it does not bode well for the next year. Jacob, what did you not have?
I haven't given what I had.
Oh, what'd you have?
I had college basketball giving us an unbelievable Saturday.
Sure. Oh, of course you did.
When they were the focal
point. What if you'd been wrong?
Could you have handled that? I don't think I'm ever wrong with college basketball.
Oh, okay.
At least when games are supposed to be exciting. As long as that, games are exciting.
A little overtime action for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, very good game there for the Buckeyes. You had a lot of overtime games. Kansas, NC State, Butler, and Providence went to double overtime. Texas Tech, Arkansas was unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Sounds good. You said it with some confidence.
Okay.
We'll go with it. I had at the beginning of the NBA season that the Cavs would be a frustrating watch because your expectations are for them to go and compete for the NBA championship. And so games in October, November, and especially in December were just going to be slogs. And they hosted the Charlotte Hornets yesterday, and the game was tied after the fourth quarter, 111-111. Austin, the end of the game was 119-111 in favor of the Charlotte Hornets.
Riveting stuff.
I do not remember a time a team has scored 0 points in overtime, but the Cleveland Cavaliers succeeded yesterday.
It's not what you want.
Not in the slightest. What did you not have?
But you did have that, which is good for you. I did not have Ward Manuel surviving the weekend as the Michigan athletic director. I don't really understand how, unless the university wants this investigative process to play out so that they can, I don't know, find cause or justify this decision to move on from their athletic director. If they're just trying to keep some sense of normalcy in place until they can get a coach, like that would make it a lot worse in my mind, given the string of embarrassment and really, in a lot of ways, disgusting work that's been happening in Ann Arbor, all under his watch. But people across the, you know, agency, coaching profession involved in athletic administration across the country all expected that by like Friday or Saturday that Manuel would be gone. And I thought so too. So I did not have that.
I did not have Nebraska going into Champaign, Illinois and coming out with a win and maintaining the longest active winning streak in college basketball. Yeah.
Wait, Nebraska 80, has that?
Yeah. I think it's 14 now. 83-80 win coming down to the very end, and you had their radio guy going, I'm about to pass out on the call. Was unbelievable. They are awesome. I have Nebraska ball has my full attention.
Do they still do the thing where they don't sit down until they score a point at home?
I think so. A lot of teams do that.
That's silly.
It's better than the balloons for football.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't have myself watching FCS quarterfinal games. They were like Friday and Saturday where you had Montana State Friday night and you're getting Brawl of the Wild in the FCS semifinals. I was saying this at the beginning of the program, Austin, like games with stakes are one awesome. And with Twitter, when you're just kind of scrolling on a Friday night, if someone brings to your attention an awesome game that's on, there's a good likelihood that you tune to that.
Yeah.
And that's where I thought with those quarterfinal games, with the Army-Navy game, you can, if you're the group of five, look at that and say, we can create our own buzz during the week and maybe before the weeks leading up to the actual college football playoff. And you'd get better interest, I think, in a group of five playoff than what you're going to get with two college football playoff games featuring JMU and Oregon Saturday night and Tulane Ole Miss that we've already seen.
I try to do that with college basketball and you don't tune in.
No, you're right.
Yeah, but that's because there aren't actually stakes to December regular season college basketball games, Reimer. You're trying to convince us that there are, but all of those teams that you mentioned are going to play in March.
Uh-huh.
So
he's going to keep doing it too.
What stakes
so
are there?
Appreciate the commitment to the gimmick, brother. Austin, who impressed you over the weekend?
Well, talk about a gimmick that's impressing. Sol Ruka gets called up for a little NXT match against Bayley on the John Cena tribute show on Saturday night, Saturday night's main event. She's awesome. I watch NXT already with Liberty. She likes it. She is a, she likes the up-and-comers. Mm-hmm. So she's, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase it. She doesn't want to be a poser. So she likes the real stuff and she wants to be authentic and see them on the way up. So she was excited because my wife, Allie, will watch, you know, the premium live events, the pay-per-views, the big time events, but she's not watching three nights a week with me and Liberty. So she'd never seen Sol Ruka, and then Sol hits the Soul Snatcher. Like, what was that finisher? Holy cow. To beat Bayley and get a huge win for her career. So kudos to her, and kudos to you, Reeser, for letting me talk about WWE on Bishop and Friends, because I don't know if that's ever happened
before. Well, it was a pivotal moment in the history of wrestling on Saturday.
100%. It's changing the course of her career, and the future is now.
Yes. Time is up, John.
Get out!
I could go a lot of different ways here.
Where are you going to go?
I will go with it being relevant for the Ohio State basketball team this weekend, and I will go down to Chapel Hill with Caleb Wilson, who's one of the best freshmen in the country, had 20-11. Now, it was against USC Upstate, but it's his fourth 20-point double-double of the season. So Ohio State's going to have their hands full with this stud freshman on Saturday.
Great. If you've never done drugs and you want to know what it's like to do drugs, watch Blake Horvath play football.
Woo.
In that Army-Navy game, he was all, I think he had 34 carries. He had a touchdown on the ground. They had him throw the ball in situations. Like on that final drive where Horvath heroics have a Navy winning this game. I think he had like three fumbles on their final drive and their final like two drives and lost one of them. It was all over the place, but our Army-Navy game was special.
Big win for them.
Player who disappointed.
I'm going to consider the Biletnikoff voters to be players because they were influencing the outcome here. They, I don't know, overthought it, underthought it. I can't speak for all of them. All I know is that they got it wrong because Jeremiah Smith, if you asked 100 scouts and general managers or college football coaches or NFL head coaches which wide receiver you wanted, every single one of them close. Would say Jeremiah Smith. And Mekhi Lemon is a very good player. Mm-hmm. He was a finalist for good reason, but he didn't win the Big Ten Receiver of the Year. He was not the choice to be first team unanimous all Big Ten at wide receiver. Plays in the same conference as Jeremiah Smith, so how he became the Biletnikoff winner is beyond my level of comprehension. So, huge disappointment for that group of players.
I'm going to go with a player's route as well, and that's going to be with the NC State Wolfpack, who lost to Kansas with majority of the game without Darren Peterson, who re-aggravated his hamstring, I think. So without,
well, of course, I've been monitoring Darren Peterson's hamstring for weeks.
You got to stay on that.
Just if he's not playing, he's their best player. You got to be able to win the game
these next 2 weeks. So we'll be all over the place with who's going to be on the air. But just every time you crack the mic, just a Darren Peterson watch.
Okay.
Just the fans are clamoring for it. I'm disappointed in ACLs for Patrick Mahomes, for Micah Parsons.
Mm.
Bad time for that. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week, Austin.
Yeah, you mentioned that wild finish and an exciting game in Army-Navy. Brian Newberry, I think this is the first time in Navy history they've won 10 games in back-to-back seasons.
It's pretty awesome.
Correct
job.
Me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw that stat over the weekend. So kudos to him. It is a tough place to win at those academies. We know that. We talk about it all the time. But, you know, to have it go down into that last week and then the drama that you had in the fourth quarter, full marks there to Navy for pulling that out and I can't think of a more deserving Bud Kilmer coach of the week.
I am going to go with Arizona basketball head coach Tommy Lloyd. Because he has the Wildcats off to a 9-0 start with 5 wins against top 15 teams. And they just beat Alabama and Birmingham by 21 points.
Who is that person again?
Tommy Lloyd.
Jake Diebler. That was a heck of a win.
Yep.
It was double overtime. It was frustrating at times, that offense. We had some work to do there, but that's a big win. Buckeyes are 8-2.
Got a technical in the game, too.
And he did, and as Jacob Reimer has said, they're going to play North Carolina Saturday in Atlanta. CBS Sports' Shahan Jayaraja joins us to talk about Texas Tech, the college football playoff, and kind of what a wild week it's been in the sport nationally. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Is your Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A nice mix of sun and clouds today, but don't let that sun fool you. We're still going to be bitterly cold with our feels like at or below zero. For tonight, partly cloudy with our lows down into the teens. However, the feels like will be even lower than that. And for Tuesday, more sunshine. And finally, temperatures getting back above the freezing mark. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
The only thing better than watching football is talking about it.
So we invented Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser and Austin Ward on a Reaction Monday. And Austin, back in the summer, we do a feature, the 20 most interesting college football programs. And it was this man's reporting about Texas Tech and Cody Campbell and what the idea that the Red Raiders were going to pump all of this money and utilize the transfer portal. And the idea was to get them to Dallas for a Big 12 championship. Well, mission accomplished on that front. And for more perspective on what the Red Raiders are trying to do from a national standpoint, just how this college football playoff with the wackiest names involved is going to shake out. I mean, Indiana's the one seed. I mean, that's the world we're living in right now in college football. Shahan Jayaraja from CBS Sports, kind enough to give us some of his time on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Shahan, thanks so much for the time this morning. And just before we get into all of that with the college football playoff and Tech and Indiana and Ohio State, just your thoughts from a national perspective on what the last week has been for Michigan and where do you think it goes in trying to find a new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, it is obviously a bizarre, bizarre time in college athletics, a bizarre, bizarre time at the University of Michigan. And I mean, in a lot of ways, I think that this is kind of like the final, domino or whatever you want to call it, of that era, right? I mean, for the past 2 or 3 years, it's been, off-field event after scandal, after all this sort of stuff, and it kind of culminates now with that last vestige of the Jim Harbaugh era being shown more, ultimately getting shown the door. Now, it puts the athletic department, I think, in a very strange position, having to make a hire in the middle of December after the entire rest of the carousel has spun, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. You know, do they really try to go big game hunting, especially since they don't necessarily have to pay a buyout to Sharon Moore? Do they take a chance on an up-and-comer? I mean, goodness, do they decide to kind of punt this search and maybe have an interim for next season? Like, it's just really, really an unusual time, and certainly I don't envy them having to wade through some of these waters.
Sean, let's hypothetically say that the carousel is no object, that there hadn't been all this movement already. If you just looked at it and said, who's the right kind of coach to put in place in Ann Arbor? Who do you think fits there to get them into this next era and away from, you know, the scandal plagued disaster from the last few years?
Well, I think that you really need to look to a program builder and a culture setter, somebody who really, I think, is able to come in, get people, moving in the right direction, all that sort of stuff. I mean, there's a reason that PJ Fleck's name has been brought up. He's obviously done a great job at Minnesota, had them consistently above 500, had a couple of really up seasons. And I think that he's somebody who would come in and be able to do some of that same stuff at the University of Michigan. But there's also a reason that you're seeing, some big swing candidates, I guess you could call them. I mean, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt is one that comes to mind. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. But I think that there also would be something to be said for, again, having more of a short-term coach. And it was striking to me that Utah coach Kyle Whittingham did not officially announce his retirement when he announced that he was stepping down from the University of Utah. And we've kind of heard that the athletic department was kind of set things up and said, look, we're going to move on to our coach in waiting at this point. It's time. But, you know, do you hire somebody like Kyle Whittingham to coach for 2 or 3 years and kind of shepherd you into that new era and leave the program in better shape, in three years or so? I mean, this is it's a lot of questions that I think they're going to have to answer, but there are lots of good answers as well.
Shahan Jayaraja, our guest, he covers college football nationally for CBS Sports. And Bud, when we had you on back in the summer, you had mentioned that Texas Tech, the goal for Joey McGuire and company was to make it to Dallas to win the Big 12. Well, Cody Campbell and company did it, and now they are the 4 seed in the college football playoff. For those who are just unfamiliar with how the Red Raiders got to this point where they have a bye in the first round, could you just give our fans just a Cliff's Notes version of how Texas Tech is now a national power out of the Southwest?
Yeah, I think that people are very quick to kind of say what happened was a guy spent a lot of money and that was it. And obviously that happened, but this is not the only place certainly that happened during the 2024 offseason. But, you know, this actually goes back to July of 2024 when the boosters and some of the upper management of the athletic department at Texas Tech came together and Cody Campbell came to the table and said, we don't know how long this uncapped market is going to last, so let's take advantage while it still exists. And so they were planning for that 24 transfer class all the way back in July. And they were scouting players. They were keeping an eye on holes on their roster, evaluating their own roster, and trying to figure out, okay, look, when anybody enters the portal, we want to have a plan in place. We want to know what their valuation is to us. And because of that, they were able to bring in the number 2 transfer class in the country. And I think that what can be described now as the greatest transfer class of all time in practice, they've completely transformed their defense into being, you know, really, I think the only unit that compares to it nationally is Ohio State. And offensively, they didn't take as many guys, but they were very targeted in who they brought in. And almost every single player has been a hit. So I think that they deserve a lot more credit for identifying, for finding guys who fill their specific holes that have fit into their culture and their program at a really high level. And now, I mean, look, you look all over, and I mean, they have, of course, a player who wins the Nagurski Award as the best defense player in college football. They have 2 finalists for the Bednarik Award with Jacob Rodriguez and David Bailey both on that list. They have, guys who are nationally relevant in terms of at running back and wide receiver. Like, it has been a total and complete success no matter what happens in the college football playoff.
So that college football playoff does get underway on Friday night. Shahan, which of these 4 first-round matchups is the most intriguing to you?
Yeah, I think to me, there's only one game, in my opinion, that has a team, that has 2 teams, let's say, that I think can both win the national championship if some things go right. And that's Texas A&M versus Miami. Obviously, Miami kind of needed some help to backdoor their way into the playoff. We can have that discussion about Notre Dame Miami another day. But I think that what is true is that Miami's upside that they showed through the first month and a half of the season is incredibly high. Now, they haven't played at that level, I think, you know, in a month or so. I think that one of the more underrated things that's happened in college football this year is that defensive line that looks like one of the best that we've seen in the past couple of years really fell off after September ended. And I think that, they have the upside to get back there. And same with Texas A&M, right? They ended on a very sour note with a loss to rival Texas, but we know the explosion they have at receiver. We know the pass rushers that they have led by Cassius Howell. So I think it's going to be a tremendous chess match, a tremendous battle. And again, I don't think that Oklahoma and or Alabama can win the national title. I think Oregon can, but I don't think that James Madison can. I think that neither Ole Miss nor Tulane can. So this to me, I think, is a game that potentially has some really significant ramifications.
Aggies and Hurricanes meet on Saturday. Winner gets Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Shahan, how are you on Ohio State's chances to repeat given this playoff field?
Well, I did pick them to repeat. I do have them going and winning the national championship again, but I feel a little less confident this year than I did last year, which is ironic because I think that last year, obviously, they seemed to be heading into the playoff on a real low. But I think that last year's roster was just so complete, so experienced. And this year, I think that they have the upside to do that. I think that they've got, you know, I think that they have, especially on offense, I think they have some avenues that they haven't even really started to touch as yet, especially in the passing game at this point. But, you know, how will they handle the moment? Will it be to the same extent, right? I think that their defensive line is very good. I don't think it's as good as it was when Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau were there. I think their offensive line is good. I think they also missed some guys that they lost from last season, right? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle that moment. I mean, because like you said, they get the winner of A&M versus Miami. They're expected to get Georgia in that next round. These are going to be teams that challenge you in a lot of different ways, especially in the trenches. I think they're going to handle it okay, but again, probably not as confident as I was last year.
Read us stuff at CBS Sports. Properly prepare yourself for the college football playoff and for the next month and change. That's going to be a lot of fun for college football fans. He is Shahan Jayaraja, national college football reporter at CBS Sports. Shahan, thanks so much for the time, bud.
Thank you so much for having me.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. If you can't properly handle a wristband, I want to hand you a pink slip. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
It does feel like every week they find a new way to just... They find a new way to lose. I mean, getting blown out by, I think, a good Chicago Bears team isn't a new way to lose. But just the idea that you've got a wristband mishap where your starting quarterback is heading into the game with the incorrect wristband or is heading into the game with a different wristband than your head coach, than your play caller have, is certainly a fireable offense by itself. But then you factor in everything else that's gone on with the Cleveland Browns organization. It's time for a change, and I don't necessarily know if you need to wait till the end of the season for it.
I think if this wristband scenario played out for, let's say, 31 other teams, you'd say, well, that's crazy. How did that happen? Like, these mistakes can occur. It's an isolated incident. I'd love to know what the mix-up was and how quickly they were able to recognize that they were off base and get that corrected. For this particular franchise, you hear that and you go, yeah, that sounds about right. That makes sense. We're talking about the Browns, that they find new ways.
This happens with no other team.
And it's like, yeah, it's a new thing for the Browns to do, but they find, as you said, Reeser, new ways to embarrass themselves like all the time.
And I look to now as the Browns are 3-11. And will not win a game the rest of the way. Like, they have the Cincinnati Bengals week 18. I think they were still
waiting. What a matchup that's going to be.
I
can't wait.
Two teams that the season cannot end soon enough. But Cleveland's got Buffalo Sunday at 1 o'clock in a game. You can hear it here on The Fan if that's something you're interested in. Like, if you really just, you know, want to torture your eardrums with that. Hey. Like, Andrew Siciliano and Nathan Zagura do a phenomenal job calling the Cleveland Browns, but they're not calling anything that's good. There should be so many players on this roster, not on this roster next year, especially Jerry Jeudy, who when a ball is put as almost as perfect as Shedeur Sanders can put it on him, it somehow winds up in the defensive back's hands.
Well, it's very cold
I've
out
never
there.
Seen that before either. Here's handsome Kev talking about the mix-up early on in the game with the wristband for a starting quarterback.
Yeah, there was a miscommunication early.
They mentioned that you guys had the wrong plays in the wristband on the first two drives. Is that accurate?
No. Yeah, yeah. There was something, I don't know if the wristband got something on it or whatever it was, but there was we got that fixed pretty quickly.
No. Yeah. He's like, he wanted to lie.
Yes, he did.
He's like, wait,
he absolutely wanted to lie.
Did somebody already tell you that? He's like, oh, no, I can't lie.
Oh, shoot. The quarterback already said it.
Uh-oh. He got beat. No. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They can't even get their story straight on this. And so, yeah, he's got to just admit.
I think that's almost the worst part. He's like, just the expression on his face, and then you can hear it in the tone of his voice. Like, no, what? Are you kidding me? Mixed up wristbands? That's the most ludicrous. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that they already told you that? Okay, well, I guess I better own that. The things that only can happen seemingly in Cleveland. Now, I don't want to absolve Cincinnati
sure
for the shenanigans, too. Like, they did that in the stadium itself and not with the product on the field and not shoveling off the snow from the seats.
That's
a bad look, but... like the actual product on the field, and I know that Cincinnati's defense has been an embarrassment, but just even setting up your players to go play the game and execute the plays that you want to call, to be unable to do that is unfathomable to me. Yeah.
And for everybody out there who, you know, with Kevin Stefanski won a playoff game in 2020. He's two-time NFL Coach of the Year. We've heard these things. They haven't done anything since. And almost every decision that's been made by this front office, by this regime, has been the wrong one to make. And so for me, it's almost as simple as they've got two first round picks. Now, the more Jacksonville keeps winning, the more their pick just goes into the 20s, maybe into the 30s. But if they've got
to not
pick,
go too crazy,
if they've got a pick, I mean, look at what's happening in the NFL on a week to week basis. Nobody has anything.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers is starting a game in 2025.
Definitely. I can't believe none of us said that. We didn't have that for the weekend.
Well, we'll do that tomorrow on the more NFL heavy show. And the thing was, like, I can't wait to hear the podcast between the Downs brothers, because it was Downs' older brother that caught that.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a cool moment. And the Cleveland Browns can't have anything like that, except for a month with Joe Flacco. All of it's just bad. And so I think for Kevin Stefanski, I think for Andrew Berry, I think for the Haslams, I think for the fan base, it's just time. I think you can just have the breakup at the end of the season and everybody can just get a fresh start.
Yeah, and it's not like true glory years are being thrown away here.
No.
It's not like the end of an era for a Super Bowl winning coach, or like, you know,
their playoff win was with Baker Mayfield, right? And he's been on what, three other teams, four other teams since that playoff win?
He spent a week with the Rams. And
it's just so bad, because there's every time you want to, you know, move forward with this Browns organization, like the Baker thing comes back to you, the Deshaun Watson thing comes back to you, and you can't have any like responsible roster decisions because Deshaun Watson's taking up so much of the cap. Jerry Jeudy's taking up so much of the cap.
Yeah. Everything goes back to the Deshaun Watson decision for me. I mean, that was the turning point where everything went south, and everyone knew in real time that it didn't make financial sense. It didn't make competitive sense. And they've been playing catch up ever since. And until that albatross is removed, I feel like anybody could be the coach of this team, or anyone could be the general manager of this team, and they wouldn't be able to atone for that misstep. It seems impossible to me.
And we haven't even discussed the two 30-point performances on the Browns' defense. Like, the lone positive for this is Myles Garrett's one sack away from setting the new NFL sack record. And as a Browns fan, I'm not even sure I want him on the team.
You can add that to one of the financial and roster decisions that didn't make a ton of sense. Like, the competitive window for the Browns did not include Myles Garrett. And I know that he's done everything he possibly could to make Cleveland competitive, to be one of the best defensive players year in and year out in the NFL. He's not to blame for this, but, you know, he is the most valuable asset that exists there.
Was.
And now they don't get anything for it other than a 3-11 record. And what good is that?
It's time.
What if they draft Arvell Reese with one of their picks and just continue to build on that defense?
I certainly hope that doesn't happen to Arvell.
Shut out opposing teams and just win 3-0, but then you need a kicker.
I thought the Jacksonville pick could be where they catch Reese maybe in the teens. That's not going to be the case. So now for me, it's they take pick 4 or 5 and they get Carnell Tate. Is the most logical thing to me, because I don't think they're going to dismiss Stefanski or Berry. I think they're going to bring them back, and I don't trust them with the pick. but I'm good enough with what I've seen from Shador that you bring in a veteran that can compete with him. If they can somehow con Mac Jones into signing a contract, that'd be fine. And that's your quarterback situation. But what you need to do is assign, you need to put talent around him.
Yeah.
And not guys like Cedric Tillman or Jamari Thrash or Isaiah Bond, who you get because no other team was willing to sign him. A bona fide stud. And I think Carnell Tate fits that. And Shador and Carnell Tate, I think, can do enough to make it a more competitive situation than what you've got. Because I understand the idea with tanking and how it puts you in the position to get the best possible draft asset. This front office cannot do anything with the best available draft asset.
They cannot. And that's why I don't want Arvell Reese or Carnell Tate to have to
suffer through any of those guys.
Like, and be part of the factory of sadness. Like they deserve better than that. And
sure do.
They won't. As great of players as Arvell Reese and Carnell Tate are going to be, are they going to change the fortunes in Cleveland? I would say probably not, because not I don't know how anybody can, given everything that you just outlined, Reese.
Yeah, not too much with who's running things right now.
Reese, we were talking before the show about how, like, we like to say Ohio State is wide receiver U, which I think they rightfully are, but everyone wants to turn to LSU because of what Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are doing in the NFL. But look at their two situations. They've got Joe Burrow at quarterback now. Justin Jefferson has J.J. McCarthy, and that hasn't been entirely great this year, but he has been awesome until this year. And now, like, we're finally seeing Jackson Smith and Jigba pop off. Like, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, They're not in the greatest situations. Marvin Harrison Jr., not in the greatest situation. So, yeah, I don't want that for Carnell Tate either. I want him to be in a good spot with a good quarterback where he can really thrive.
So you're saying not Shitter?
Yeah.
I'm looking
not
at
it. Not Dylan Gabriel.
No.
I'm looking at a mock
draft. Fernando Mendoza.
And they've got Mendoza going second to the Raiders. They've got Dante Moore going fourth overall to the Browns.
Oh, no.
Arvell Reese is the number one pick, and he goes to the Giants.
Okay. I mean, I think that Caleb Downs is probably a better use of the number one overall pick if you're looking for the best defensive player. But the fact that Ohio State, we can argue about who that is, and they both play for the same team is pretty darn good.
So what, three guys are projected in the top four?
Caleb's going fifth overall to the Jets over Reese, the top overall pick. That's two that I see. And
so then they have Carnell sliding down.
Carnell's going to Miami with a 13th overall selection.
Okay. Be good for Miami if they can. I'd be surprised if Carnell winds up available at that point.
Sonny Styles, 24th overall to the Buffalo Bills. Caden McDonald, 26th overall to the Chargers.
The wide receiver U talks change when the Chiefs get the number one pick next year because Patrick Mahomes is out all next year and Jeremiah Smith goes number one overall to Kansas City.
Wouldn't that be the thing, though?
Why did you just put that into the universe, Reimer?
What?
That's disgusting.
So in case you missed everything from the NFL yesterday, Mahomes injured tore his ACL. He's going to be out, obviously, for the rest of this season, putting a lot of 2026 in jeopardy. This is the first time since 1998 the NFL postseason won't have either Brady, Peyton Manning, or Patrick Mahomes. First time since 14, the Chiefs will not be making postseason play. And it does set up where if the Chiefs go into the tank, they come out in 2027, the number one overall pick.
Oh, gosh, that's horrifying. Why does that exist? But never fear, because we could again have another postseason with Phillip Rivers.
I tell you what, they lost yesterday to the last second field goal to the Seattle Seahawks. But the last 3 weeks for the Colts, they're still in playoff contention. That it's going to be fun. And that's what he presents you. And it's like, well, that was what they had. They lucked into the Joe Flacco thing a couple of years ago, and that won Kevin Stefanski Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
We'll do three things on a Monday next. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Through trusted...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And then Jimmy.
Got the Queen's liver? Really? Could it keep for that long?
That'd be a good nightclub name. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Queen's liver.
Common Man and Timmy, Afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
men. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Top Men will be back on a Tuesday.
I'll be gone. You don't need me.
We'll have you next Monday at 10:30. Are you good to go next Monday at 10:30?
I should be.
I'll book you now.
Okay. I think that next Monday we're going to have some Cotton Bowl media availability. So I'm not sure what time that's going to be, but 10:30 should be clear.
What's the schedule for Ohio State this week?
No media this week.
Okay.
Unless they change that, which is always subject to change. But I think they're not mandated to do anything this week. They'll be back on the practice field, ramping things back up. They don't want to fall too behind where Texas A&M and Miami are playing. But I think next Monday, we're going to hear from some folks on the offensive side of the football. And then Tuesday, we'll hear from the defense. It might be backwards, might have had those flipped. But either way, we'll have one day with the offense, one with the defense next week as things really start getting real ahead of that trip down to Texas.
Yeah, all of it's TBD.
Always. We all are.
We are as day-to-day as it gets, brother. Especially the opponent for next, Wednesday night's Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. I don't know why I even said it like that. The college football playoff starts Friday. Texas A&M and Miami play Saturday at noon, and so you will find your opponent Saturday afternoon.
There we go.
The Daily Fan Poll asks, will you continue to follow the Browns and or Bengals the rest of the season?
I mean, why?
I mean, you know my answer, because it's college basketball season, so no.
Reimer's already checked out. I mean,
Austin, will you follow the Browns and Bengals the rest of the year?
We know Berm will.
Bengals. I did watch Joe Burrow's return to action, and I watched that game pretty much start to finish. But yesterday, that didn't happen. So I had already checked out on that after the loss to Buffalo. So I guess I am squarely in the no camp there, Reeser.
You know my answer. I'm a glutton for punishment. So
you can't turn it off?
I can't look away from these idiots. I just want to see more of Shador. It's so tough to fairly judge him because everybody else around him stinks. That offensive line changes weekly and he's got to rely on Jerry Jeudy. And if you have to rely on Jerry Jeudy, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a real bad time. I was wrong button.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
First thing for me, Austin, today was good for me. Hopefully it was good for you.
Fantastic.
Loved having Jeremy Birmingham on en route from Cincinnati. But shame on NFL owners for when you take public funds from the fans, or you take public funds from anybody to build a stadium in 2025 without a dome. Because Buffalo's about to do that with $700 million and a lot of public funds coming from that, only to have their fans have to come and shovel snow off the seats for a food voucher. Like, I thought of Berm yesterday, like, those tickets couldn't have been terribly cheap. And the idea is, well, you've got to clean your seat off to do this. It's the NFL.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
There's rules against it. It's unthinkable. Hey, all the things that we talked about with Cleveland are on the field. The stuff that goes on with Cincinnati is off the field. Like, it's just gross. Ohio State has spent so much time this year, or we have, thinking about could there be a change, should there be a change at right guard for Ohio State. Integra Shibola, I guess we're going to find out how the Buckeyes are going to be able to respond to that. He's been up and down. He's been inconsistent. We know that. But he continued to win that job. He had one of his best performances of his career in the Big House.
Yeah.
Not more than 2 weeks ago, dealing with that injury. Ohio State, it's not a matter of if. Now, they have to make a replacement there. So Gabe Van Sickle, big opportunity on the practice field this week. Josh Padilla, if he's back to full go. Could be Ethan Onyanwu. Who knows? But one of those guys going to have to step up because Tegra Shibola has played a lot of football. He's played championship football for Ohio State. And this is yet another curveball that the Buckeyes have to deal with on the offensive line heading into the CFP. That's a big thing.
First thing for me, it was, a milestone weekend at the Reimer household as my daughter Nora turned 3 months old on Saturday.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah. And yesterday, Sunday, was our dog Luca's Got You Day.
Oh, my gosh. So, just lining up perfect.
Absolutely. And he knows ball because of the 3 years that we've had him, he's 2 for 3 on March Madness.
Oh, my goodness.
Correctly picking the champion. Shout out UConn.
That's the thing. Like, nobody who follows or covers college basketball could ever pick March Madness better than someone who has no idea what's going on.
Yep. Well, Reimer's trained his dog to do it. I mean, he's passing down the knowledge.
I mean, you've got the dogs that you see on social media, like, nosing. They'll throw a ball to them, and they'll hit it with their bucket with their nose into the basket of the team in the matchup. And those, like, those corgis that do that do better in the picks than I do.
What?
First thing for me is Friday night, I lost power for 5 hours in the Tri-Village area because somebody with a dump truck decided to drive through the intersection of Lane and Carmack with the bucket still up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the second time in 4 weeks that's happened in Columbus, where if you drive a truck and the bucket's up, you collide with something. We're running into buildings. We're driving with our buckets up. Guys, let's endeavor to be better on the roads in 2026. Like, asking for better by the end of the year is a little bit too ambitious because we're counting down the days of 2025. But next year, come on, please.
Don't think that that's too much to ask. That's like job one when you start that vehicle, right? Is this up? Is it down? Can I drive?
Apparently, I was told by people on social media that it happens more than I would think. And that's alarming.
That's troublesome. That's not great. So Reimer went personal. I will as well. Thing number two, Liberty had the Junior Nutcracker recital on Sunday afternoon. Fantastic. It's cool to see her getting better, because I think this is the third time that she's done this particular performance. It's a different one every year, you know, different role that she's playing. But the first one was a little bit rough. You know, the choreography was out of step a little bit. Now she's getting better. She's eight. She's been through this process for a few years, and that's cool to see.
Second thing for me, the Jake Diebler Show is up next, fresh off of their big overtime win against West Virginia.
We got a couple minutes. We got a couple seconds here in this. I'm picking the Steelers tonight, minus the 3 that they're getting for their Monday night game against the Dolphins. I am 9-6 entering Monday night football.
Fired up then.
Yes. Getting back to 500. Final thing from you, Austin.
Kudos again to John Cena, hanging it up. Didn't think he was going to tap, but he gave it his all. He went out on the terms that he wanted. Fantastic.
Yeah, if he picked it, like, that's how you want to do it. Our time is up. Jake Diebler's time is now. Bo Bishop will be back tomorrow for Bishop and Friends.
And you can't see me.
9 to noon, right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-5-